Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The Blue Jackets kept their playoff hopes alive last night with a 4-3 shootout victory over the Red Wings. Adam Fantilli tied the game with 16 seconds left in regulation. Then Zach Werenski on a wobbly skate buried the shootout winner. Werenski's 2 points up this total to 80, making him the third American-born defenseman in league history with back-to-back 80-point seasons, joining Hall of Famers Brian Leetch and Phil Housley. With 4 games left in the regular season, Jackets are 2 points behind Ottawa for the second wild card in the East. MLB Guardians host the Royals at 1:10. Reds visit the Marlins at 6:40. Contract news, 5 games into his big league career, baseball's top prospect Connor Griffin has agreed to a 9-year, $140 million deal with the Pirates. This update sponsored by Metal Supermarkets, your convenience store for metal. Visit Columbus at metalsupermarkets.com or 2180 Wilson Road for all your metal needs. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
That's right. For guys like me, it's watching Johnny Travolta go for a couple cans of paint. But for everybody else and the Jackets, it is staying alive. And it's an absolute, there's no guarantee they're getting in. There's no guarantee that this win, as miraculous as it was, is going to propel them to greatness and win out and suddenly flip the switch. But damn, it feels a lot better than the alternative, which is basically doing a eulogy today on the season if they lose that.
Man, listen, you talk about an emotional roller coaster last night. That was wild, absolutely wild. Like, the Jackets right now, they kind of feel like, remember when Jon Snow AR was fighting in the Battle of the Bastards? Remember that scene where the camera is behind him and all the horses are coming at him and him alone? That's that right. Episode, and then he gets buried in that pile of just horses and guys fighting in this war against your boy Ramsey Bolton, and out of nowhere, here comes Sansa Stark to save the day. And there's a little life. There's a little life for our boy Jon Snow. That's exactly where we're at with the Jackets. You laid it out well. Still got work to do, but that was absolutely a must-win, must-have moment late in game. Last night, our guy Z cashes in. The young kid in Fantilli does his thing, and Jet has a good night. It was incredible, man. I was down bad. I'm telling you that, though. When Detroit went up 3-2, I was like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. This is it.
Well, it's 4.5 to go.
This is it. We're cooked. Yeah.
But not then, only that.
Not so fast, Matty Ice. Not so fast.
So not only were they down, they got a penalty called on them on Provorov when they were going on a 4-minute power play. Like, that was it. It's a tie. Like,
yeah.
You either, like, this was perhaps the biggest moment of their season. And every moment moving forward feels that way. You go on a 4-minute power play in a tie game late third, you're like, this is it. And then out of nowhere, like 25 seconds in or whatever it was, Sider takes a spill. I thought he embellished. Provorov goes to the box. It negates everything. And then a couple minutes later, they're taking the lead. Like, it was about as it turned on them so fast at that point. And Falk was great last night for Detroit. And we knew going in yesterday, I had finally gotten to the point yesterday. I was like, all right, it's must win. Like, there's no way out of this. I don't care whether you play the best hockey game in the world and lose. I'm not going to come in today and say, well, we got a few left.
No.
There's hope. No, I was not in that mindset anymore because I just didn't know where it was going to come from. Because you can't lose 7 in a row and feel like, okay, well, maybe there's a chance. Like, I just didn't feel that. And I'm usually the, well, they're not mathematically eliminated guy. But
now you're with me.
No,
took
no,
a page out of my book.
I'm not tipping that. I'll give you the odds. I mean,
I'm saying as far as labeling it a must win, because usually, like you said, you wouldn't do that until officially cooked.
Not after 6 L's.
They've been in must win territory for the last couple of games, for sure.
Yeah. So it was one of those games where we kind of build it as a heavyweight fight. The intensity would be there. I didn't expect it either way to be a blowout. It just didn't have that feel. I said to you yesterday, we're probably looking at 6 goals total. By the way, we had that going into overtime. It would have been a 5 if they didn't score on the extra attacker goal. And so we'll have Dante Fabro on, who's paired with Z again now, and he'll come on at 2:30 for Hockey and Hounds, and we'll catch the vibe. I think they're going to be very careful on acknowledging how big of a win it was, and then that's in the rearview mirror. Now, I'm not saying you can't use it to build off of, but I don't think you want to get caught in anything other than what they're doing now, because I said to you yesterday, and this is our fault and their fault, everybody was looking at the standings because it makes sense. You want to see if you get help. Even Bones, right after the game last night, was like, wow, Philly won, and like he already knew.
Did Ottawa win too?
Yeah.
Last night, because that's what was happening too. That emotional roller coaster I was going on when I mentioned Detroit going up 3-2. I was like, okay, I'm going to do a little scoreboard watching myself right here, watching the game. And I fired up the ESPN app and I said, oh no, AR.
Yeah.
Ottawa and Philly are on their ways to wins as well. Like, this may be it. Bring out the shovel, bury us now. But that wasn't the case. And just, it's just great, right? Like, Z's had these incredible game-ending moments over whether it was USA Canada or last night. And for Z, you're back in Michigan, parents are in the stands, your brother is there, and he comes out after the game and he talks about, hey, like, I'm kind of wobbly out here, right? This had the whole skate situation going
on.
Okay, go ahead and play it. If you got it, spin it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really cool. I saw my parents after the game in the stands. I saw my brother up there. Those are the moments that you play the game for, and I think that's what makes it better. It would have been fun in any building, especially this time of year, given what's on the line. But I think just seeing them after the game, it definitely ranks pretty high up there for moments in a regular season game, for sure.
I think Jody asked him after the game, what's it like to be booed basically a few miles from where you grew up? And he did not hesitate. Said it's awesome.
I love it.
It's awesome.
You gotta love that, man. As an athlete, what that can do for you, especially in games like this, that extra adrenaline boost that you can get. You don't want it to be a distraction, but you hear athletes say sometimes, like, I like playing on the road. I like being the guy that gets booed, right? Because I can help maybe get myself going. But yeah, just going back to what I was mentioning, AR, just about the moment, against Canada late, that was absolutely incredible. And then these type of moments right here are what you need from your big time players. They have to deliver. Season not technically on the line, but kind of is, right? If you don't win that game, in matchups like this and situations like this, the dream is to have your star player step up. And Z just has that. He has a knack for finding his way into critical moments and delivering. And for a guy that had been 0-for-3 on shootouts in his career, for him to snipe the thing the way that he did was just baller.
Yeah, he's not usually, he's deep in that rotation.
Exactly right.
And even admitted, like, that's not, he doesn't have, like, he's a very good offensive defenseman, but he is not the make a move in one-on-one Deke goaltender. That's not him. He's got a really electric shot. Yeah. He's got great hand-eye coordination. He knew he could go blocker side high. From that distance, that's not easy. And that's just a high riser. That's just a rising fastball that gets by Gibson. And it was one of the things. Let's not forget a couple aspects of that game last night. One, Jet Greaves again made sure, despite them being down late, that game could have been over long before that.
What do you have, seven stops in overtime, I think?
I'm even talking about in the third. He stones Raymond on a breakaway.
He was in his bag last night, yeah.
Early in the third, he had to make a little bit of a sprawling save in front. So he was great. When Monty takes the stick to the face, and they go on a four-minute power play with 10 minutes to go, I'm like, all right, this is their season. And then Provorov gets the interference call, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, everything gets negated there. And then from a mental aspect, going down 3-2 with 4.5 to go, now, most of the time, I don't even know the stats. I don't even know where I could find the stats on extra attacker goals, what the percentage is of empty netters versus extra attacker. I mean, the extra attacker, I'd love to find that out. Somebody's got to be, I got to be able to do a deep dive on that, because it just doesn't feel like it happens very often. More likely than not, you're getting scored on with an empty net. That would only make sense. But they got a couple chances at it. They got a couple icing calls that gave them a face-off in the offensive zone. And when Fans ties it in the final seconds, the reason it's cool, obviously, because the season stays alive. But this is the kind of stuff that always happens to them. Like, watching this, it's more like the opposite would have happened. That they would have been up three, like, they would have been up late,
no question,
and Detroit would have tied it.
Yeah.
Like, that's, but not this time. Not last night. And Marchie had a great block in overtime, too. Like, they really, laid down in front of pucks. The other guy I want to mention is Charlie Coyle, because he had to score in the shootout, or they do lose.
No question.
We don't get to Zach's moment without him.
Talk about
and
it.
He's been sneaky great in shootouts. He's incredibly calm. He's got a great little snap in front of the net. He is a guy that has a very subtle way about him in shootouts. I mean, Fans hit the post, which I think would have won it. So there were a lot of things that actually were going against them that I thought would mentally affect them, but they didn't. And we'll have Dante on at 2:30 and talk about it. They scored first in the by the way, that was one of I like I said, I rarely bet hockey, but when I do, it's usually in must-win opportunities. So it was plus 182 for them to score in the first 10 minutes. Bone said he was shaking lines, so I thought, let's snow globe this up. So that hit. But I'm not going to lie to you. I looked at the odds with about 10 minutes to go in a tie game, and I said, all right, this feels like overtime. Just have that feel to me. And then I had to make the decision, do I take it a step further? Do I bet for a shootout? I didn't.
Oh.
The shootout odds were, at 10 minutes to go, were about 5-1, so really good value. And over time, you know, the goalies have been good tonight, but you never know when you're going to get that odd man situation in overtime. Usually games would end in overtime. I don't know. That's another deep stat I'd like to find out, is how many games that go to overtime actually make it to the shootout, especially in 3-on-3. It's so rare. So I didn't bite on either one, and I just kind of watched it as a fan and kind of sat back after the plus 182 hit early, and then that was it. And so they didn't get the help. They didn't get the double whammy, which was on the scoreboard. They really could have gotten some help. So they're still on the outside looking in. The good news is they own the tiebreaker right now over Philly. So that's good shape. The other thing is they're all in the same amount of games right now. Outside of Boston, everybody's played 78. So there's no game in hand really on any team that truly matters right now. And they're 2 points out of the wild card, and they're 2 points out of third in the Metro. So they've got a chance. They kept Detroit down. Detroit did get a point last night, obviously. And then let's not forget about the Islanders, even though they've lost four in a row. They're only a point back. And this Capitals team is not really eliminated yet, but my gut is by the final game when we play them here, the math will math, and we'll know whether Washington's going to just play it out or whether that could matter. I'm telling you right now, if we get to that last game at home against a Washington team that's out, like, and if it's a win and get in kind of game, that's all you can hope for, I think, at this point. I did check, though, a lot of people talking about Buffalo. I do believe Buffalo is going to be coming off a back-to-back. I think they play tonight.
Here for that.
Against the Rangers. And that game's on the road.
Okay.
Not far away, but it's on the road. So let's not overlook that tiny aspect of it.
That's a big deal. And so, yeah, I love what you said about how you can kind of bask in this for a little bit. But that's all it can be. And that's what their mentality is going to be. Boone, Z, Bones, the leaders of this team right now, they're not going to allow anybody to just say, hey, you know what? Hey, you know, let's just kick our feet up a little bit. That cannot be the case. I'm not expecting that at all. One thing, though, that AR will obviously help is cleaning up the PK right now, right? That's been hurting them just a little bit. Not a little bit, a lot of it, when you're talking 8 goals on the PK given up over 7 games. But listen, man, that's what we talked about yesterday. Get a positive result. No matter how you can get it, stop the bleeding. And they did that on the road last night in Detroit. It was cool.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that the way they got it might give you a little extra juice. Just the way they got it, because they were on life support and they were clinic. They were basically I thought they were dead. Like, there was at that point, the extra attackers, as we talked about, it's just something you can't really count on. There was a lot of pressure there. We've seen it happen, but it just doesn't happen for us a lot. And so we come in today with proof of life. They showed proof of life last night. We'll come back. We'll have Fabs, as I said, at 2:30. We'll have Shefty bottom of the hour. We will take you down to Augusta at 2 o'clock with my friend Dave Shadlowski, who is on assignment there. He does so much for the Augusta. He's actually doing a couple things now. Golf World, Golf Digest. He's doing the Augusta annual. So he'll have a lot to handicap for us on picking a winner at the Masters. We come back next for Buckeye football and Ryan Day on his own expectations for his field general. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Tell Ohio Credit.
Join the fan weeknights at 6 for the Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State, yes, yes it is. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine as we go into the day today with highs getting in the mid to low 60s. And then for tonight, not as cold overnight with mostly clear skies and lows in the mid to upper 40s. For Thursday, we'll see more sunshine and breezy winds and daytime highs soar in the mid to upper 70s. So get out there and enjoy the beautiful weather. For the Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Catch T-Bone and Tyvus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, the Fan. Like Yoda, Rothman will limp onto the golf course, talk about how stiff his back is, wonder how he can even make it through a hole, and then proceed to kick your ass. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Good strategy. I highly recommend it.
Something funny happened during the break. Because TLC is not here today. So we got Isaiah in the house on the one, on the ones and twos. And Isaiah, hop on the mic and let the folks know what you said to me during the break.
It wasn't 3 minutes into the show. Matty Ice just spoiling my newest show that I've been watching. And it's not a new show. Obviously, Game of Thrones has been around for a long time. I'm in the midst of season 5 right now. Okay. Me and my fiance, she's at vet school right now. She's becoming a veterinarian. And so that's our show we're watching right now is Game of Thrones. Yeah. And Matty's just spoiling the show.
I don't think I gave away anything that's going to change your trajectory or your enjoyment of where the show's going. I think you'll be okay with what
I said. If anything, I think he may have somehow tricked you unintentionally.
Good.
Because the way he made it sound, I think for people that hadn't seen it, it could have gone either way. And then the other thing he's always said is there is a statute of limitations on spoilers, he feels. Now, with all these series and everybody binge watching, they don't have to watch them along the way. That's how I watched Breaking Bad. And I feel like I've always said that not having to wait a week, you know, where you can rip off 5 or 6 episodes in a row, there's a ride. You're taking a different type of emotional ride on some of these intense shows because you're watching them back to back to back instead of the old school, like, okay, I got an hour, now I got to wait a week. But you're talking about an episode that probably aired maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, you're good.
And so I don't know if he's really committed a foul here or not.
I think I'm good on that. But it's interesting right now because we have two guys at the station that are doing the Game of Thrones experience. We've got you and Bodie is doing this at the same time. Who's your favorite character at the moment?
Jon Snow.
Okay.
Oh, you really went with a favorite. Like, you really went with, like, sunshine and puppy dogs. Like, you didn't pick a villain or somebody that's maybe the other way, a guy that's, you know.
Couldn't do it.
Okay. So you're going
at
with,
at this
like
point in the show, I'm in, like, the middle of season 5.
Okay. So you're going with, like,
he's gone hard recently. So for that.
One of the good guys. Like, in wrestling, you're going with a baby face. Yeah. So I like the heels. Like, my favorite character looking back, AR, was Cersei. Like, looking back at everything, her and what, I heard that little groan over there, which I get, like, I can understand, but I'm, like, Cersei Lannister, for me, was my favorite Game of Thrones character. She was one of one.
Yeah, I mean, you like that stuff, you know, with the brother and things like that. I get it. I think my advice to Zeke would be, I don't want you to like the guy, the PG-13 guy. I want you to like the R-rated guy. The guy you're not really sure which way he's coming from, you know, whether you like him or not.
And there's plenty of those in that show.
Not really sure where he's coming from.
Littlefinger, your guy.
Who's my guy? Who, Reek?
Yeah, I think that's your guy, right?
I rooted for him. He's a little bit of an underdog. Yeah. Theon Greyjoy. Reek. Yeah.
Do you know who Reek is?
Yes, okay. I know who Reek is.
Okay, we got to. All right, maybe we need to chill a little bit, AR.
You know, I'm trying to avoid the spoilers, too. Like, I've been doing it.
So you're familiar on when he became Reek versus... Okay, so you've seen that scene. So this is the funny moment for us on Game of Thrones, when Bobby and Maddie and I were doing the show together. So I didn't know anything about Game of Thrones. And it was some late night, and I was scrolling through the channels, and that scene of when he thinks he's dreaming, or maybe he is, or maybe he isn't, before the whole transformation... I'm like, well, this looks interesting. I didn't even know what it was.
A little snip snip.
And that was my entry into Game of Thrones.
Welcome. Yeah,
that was shock factor. Yeah, you're either in or out there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, enjoy the ride, man. Yeah. It's an all-time show. Enjoy the ride.
I think my all-time three, we talked about this all-time three favorite series in my lifetime, I think I'm going to go Sopranos,
okay,
Breaking Bad, and if you want to just add TV to it and go old school from a drama standpoint, not a sitcom, mm-hmm, would be NYPD Blue. Those are my three, probably,
okay,
if I was real quickly.
I like that. I like that. I'll go.
Oh, and four, honorable mention.
Yeah.
Ozark.
Yeah, you love that, which was great. It's phenomenal. I'll go Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, The Wire, and honorable mention, Vanderpump Rules. Little reality show in there, too.
Yeah, those are my three of my honorable mention.
For me, it would be Ozark would be one. I'd probably rip Modern Family. I'd love some Modern Family. And I don't know what the third would be. I don't know. Those would be my two for now.
I wasn't including like the Seinfelds. I was including that for me. I was just drama series like that.
Okay.
All right. So we got Ryan Day coming off a year where he lost two games, and it was to the two finalists, and they were close. And it was one of those deals where there are no moral victories. I've always said this is not MVU, Moral Victory University. It's not who they are. It's not who they ever will be. Maybe years and years ago, or maybe when it was computer driven and it wasn't even BCS and you had to get kind of voted eventually as a champ, and college football was what it was. It was college football.
Mm, they were sound like you miss it.
Student athletes, extracurricular activities. They were still stars, and they were still stars to be in the NFL.
For being honest, you know, some guys maybe we're finding money elsewhere, too.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't life-changing money, though. It was, that we know of. Maybe it would change their lives
right,
in one way or another. Yeah. And so my point is that back then, 9-3 was okay. Mm. Just win the right ones. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody really thought about going really. It wasn't, but starting the year, okay, you got to be undefeated. And we've heard Ryan Day say several times that, I think he's being truthful to himself, like, that you're not allowed to lose here. Like, and what he means by that is that there's no real forgiveness even for a good loss, like a tough loss, a loss where the other team was maybe better that day, or the other team had as much talent as they did, or close to it. Like, you lose, it was always something you did wrong, not that the other team did well. That's really, if I summed up my experience in Columbus, Ohio, for decades, it's that. And he gets it, and that's what he signed up for. And guess what? He gets paid pretty handsomely, and so do the coaches, to make sure that they can acquire talent and win as many games as possible and then win the right ones. He's got a quarterback who's coming off a pretty supreme year here from a statistical standpoint and even from a talent standpoint. He's probably even better than I thought he'd be. And he was better than I thought he'd be, Matty, pretty early on. I thought the Texas game was going to, that was going to be a learning curve for him a little bit. It was a low scoring game and all that, but I thought he showed up in that game where, you know, I'm just listening, it was 13 of 20, 126. He wasn't asked to do a lot, but he didn't make any serious mistakes. And he had a touchdown. Like, the numbers didn't jump off the chart for him in Texas, but it was all about going up against Arch Manning, and he came out on the other side. So here's Ryan Day on his expectation now for his sophomore quarterback.
Well, I think the first thing is just command of the whole operation, understanding that he's the guy that's in charge. We're constantly looking for him to, you know, run the offense at a high level. And so the expectation is more than it was last year. Everything that he did last year was for the first time. This year, we know what he can do, and so he's got to take those next steps. You know, we've talked before about, you know, just the physicality of standing in the pocket, being able to escape and make plays with his feet when that's appropriate. But he's got to be at his best on third down and in the red zone. And in 2 minutes, we know we're going to have to win games in the fourth quarter looking at our schedule. We need him to be on his stuff when it comes to that.
An acknowledgement of the schedule, right? Like, that's going to be a big narrative.
He's done that around a couple times, too.
Just not just Day, but a lot of people are talking about it. National talking heads are looking at this schedule and saying, look, Ohio State can beat anybody, but they are, maybe to Coach Day's point right there, going to be up against it tight late in games. And you just want those finite details to be something that your quarterback can check off. And not just your quarterback, but your entire team, but specifically him in those moments, to know that I need to go here with the ball. I need to do this with my legs to keep the play alive. I'm very excited to see that aspect of his game this year, because like you mentioned off the top, The arm talent is special. The accuracy is special. But now he can take his game to higher heights and maybe separate himself from these other quarterbacks around the country in the eyes of the NFL to say, oh, well, he added that to his bag and he can do this to help me out as an offensive play caller where things are drawn up right or whatever it is. And just the coverage is so good and nothing's there. But he did his job of moving the chains or giving us a shorter down and distance. And so he's got it all there. The game, I'm sure, for him will slow down this year, and really expecting him to hit the ground running right out of the gate because he should be comfortable within this offense and what Coach Day wants him to do.
I think you'd like him to be Will Howard, but that would be unrealistic.
Will had
big,
a...
He's not as right.
And Will had a different mentality. Mm-hmm. Will was here for the smoke. He wanted to, right? Because Will knew, like you said, AR, I've got the body type to where I can go out there and deliver a blow. For Julian, he's not built the same way. And so I think early on, that is going to be interesting for me to see is how much of that is going to be there right away. Because I think it's something you have to do on the fly. You have to get comfortable doing that against opposing defenses, especially when it's something you may not have done your entire football career to this point.
All right, we are inching ever so close to the draft, 2 weeks and a day. We have Chef Dion here in 2 minutes. We'll get some intel for you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Benefits.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
NFL Playbook with ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
All right, we'll have Shefty here in moments. We'll effort him. Give him 2 minutes. Gong it up.
Done.
Okay.
Two-minute drill.
You just got the two-minute warning.
Shefty, yeah, man. You excited? You getting juiced up for this thing?
For the draft?
Yeah, next 2 weeks?
You know, it goes in order for me. I can't supplant the Masters to start getting pumped about the NFL draft. I like talking about it, but okay. I'm not going to move it up 2 weeks for myself emotionally.
I understand that. 2 weeks from tomorrow, AR, so the 23rd over there in Pittsburgh. Well, the... Vegas Raiders will be on the clock, and they better not waste our time.
You and I disagree on this.
They better not waste our time, especially
I've always disagreed
this
on
year.
This.
Like, let's go. If everybody knows you're taking Fernando Mendoza as soon as the draft starts.
Let him know.
Let's go. Announce the pick and stop messing around.
Nope.
Don't waste our time.
Nope. This is, I have 8 minutes. They even shortened it, I think, from 10 to 8. So they even took 2 minutes away from me. If my team is picking first, I want my team talked about. I want the logo. I want the colors.
You
I
don't
want everything.
Need it.
I want the history.
You don't need
I
it.
Want everything up there for eight damn
so you
minutes.
Want the history of how
I
bad your season
on,
was last
I
year.
I want to stay on.
That's what you want.
Not 8 seconds, 8 minutes. It is a bad season, but I'm never going to turn down that branding aspect for my team.
What now, is it, Shark Tank? You want to get your business up there in front of the world
you start
trying to sell it?
Maybe Goodell comes out and says, hey, Vegas, you start running a respectable business, we won't have to come up here and hassle you no more. Make your pick. No, I'm all the, hey, use the time. Use the time. It used to be 10 minutes. Now I think it's 8. And so I know the second round goes faster. Maddie wants it done in 5 seconds. Now, I agree with you. You know who you're taking.
Yeah.
And maybe they will surprise me this year and not wait. But I don't mind it. I know as a fan, like, look, you get on with it because you want to see the other picks. All right. Time for NFL Playbook with our guy, Adam Schefter. He's with us now on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. My man, it's good to have you.
What's going on, Anthony? How you doing?
Great, great. Maddie and I like when teams use the 8 minutes to take their pick in the first round. If I owned a team or you owned a team and they get to talk about me for 8 minutes, good, bad, or ugly, I'm taking it. I know the Vegas knows they're taking Mendoza, but I got no problem with them waiting the 8 minutes. Do you?
Well, here's the deal. Let's be honest. It's a TV production, and every team wants ESPN, NFL Network, talking about them for 8 minutes. Why would they cut off 8 minutes of free time of publicity in prime time to make the pick? I know every fan wants to get on with it. I want to get on with it. I got it. But let's remember, it's a draft show, number one. It's a TV production. And that's what this is all about, is making sure that every team gets its full value for the draft pick. Some teams use the full 8 minutes to make a decision. some don't. But again, it's a TV production.
Yeah, Shefty, I'm just on the opposite side, especially like in this type of draft. Like, I just think it's a waste of our time knowing that they're just going to take Mendoza. You're going to be talked about enough anyway, that being the Raiders, because you're taking a quarterback at one. But whatever, I'll be watching the draft, so my complaints really don't matter. Anyway, let's go down to Houston, because it looks like the Texans did a bit of business today with two of their key pillars moving forward, and at least what they hope are going to be two key pillars for them moving forward. Talk about what happened today with the former Buckeye C.J. Stroud and the good pass rusher and Will Anderson.
Yeah, they picked up the fifth-year option on both players. Now, again, I don't think there's any surprise in that at all. Will Anderson's one of the great defensive players. They want to keep C.J. Stroud. Look, we saw the Seahawks do this a few weeks back. They picked up the fifth-year options on Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Devin Witherspoon. And literally, days later, Jaxon Smith-Njigba signed a deal that made him the highest-paid wide receiver in NFL history, and now they want to get a deal done with Witherspoon. So I don't think it's overly significant that the Texans have picked up the fifth-year options. I think it was more of a formality than anything else. The headline would be if they can get a deal worked out. The headline would be if they hadn't picked up the fifth-year options or said that they weren't picking up the fifth. That would have been interesting. But, I mean, I don't think anybody in the world thought that the Texans wouldn't be picking up the fifth-year options on both those players.
Okay, let's dig a little deeper there. What do you understand about their urgency to want to get a deal done with CJ specifically right now?
Urgency? I don't know that there's urgency to it. I think that they would like to get it done. I think that eventually they'll get it done. What does urgent mean, right? Like, I don't know what that means exactly. So I think that they're intending to re-sign him, and let's see how long that takes.
I think urgency to me would be this summer. I think the non-urgency would be next summer. That they wait and see. That his situation is not exactly clear-cut. Long-term for him, I think they believe he's the right guy, but maybe they want to wait and see. So if there was some urgency, I think that they don't mess around and they try to sign him to something now and maybe get him at a, not a lesser rate, but a rate where they feel like they may have a little leverage more than he does.
Yeah, but, you know, you have no idea. Like, if he goes out this year and lights it up and you haven't sent him to an extension, the number may go up $15, $20 million, right? If you do it now and he struggles like he did in the playoff game, then you just made potentially a poor investment. So, you know, I'm curious. I understand what you're asking. It's the right question. I don't know exactly how they're going to handle it just yet, other than I have been told they would like to re-sign him. What that means, you know, to what level, how soon, those are the questions that really matter right now.
Yeah. No, I read you. I think what you're saying is that maybe there's some feeling that they don't have to be urgent.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's correct.
All right. Let me
that
ask.
What I'm saying right
yep. Now. Let me ask you about Jeremiah Love and what you may be hearing a couple weeks out of the draft. Everyone thinks he's an out-of-the-world talent, but he plays running back. I heard Mel this morning say, I think he's breaking his own precedent, Shefty. I heard Mel say this morning, like, I've always believed for decades I would never take a running back in the first round, but I think he said he's not your typical running back and he can do a lot more. I think Mel was ready to break his own rule that he will be a first-round draft pick. Where, we don't know. Are you hearing anything on movement to go up to get Jeremiah Love or whether he would drop to a certain spot?
Well, I think that's one of the biggest questions about the draft, Jeremiah Love. I think there are a lot of people who feel like he's the best player in the draft, a potential Hall of Fame type talent. And where is he going to go in this draft? And that's what I think everybody's curious to see. You know, now the value on running backs has shifted. Like we're starting to see running backs paid close to $20 million. And because they're being paid close to $20 million, right? It's a situation where they have to basically, you can go draft a running back in the first round and again, have the value be okay. Like it's not a bad business investment, if you know what I'm saying. So I think the thinking on these running backs has changed considerably. And again, we'll see where Jeremiah Love goes, but he's going to go up high.
Very high, and looks to be absolutely a special player. So, Shefty, we've got a handful of teams this year that have two first-round picks. Do you have any chatter out there about teams wanting to move up this year? Do you think maybe teams are going to just stay where they're slotted and kind of go best player available?
Well, I think there are always teams that move around. But I think you've got a situation this year where quarterbacks usually drive teams trading around and moving all around the board. And we're not in a draft where there are a lot of quarterbacks this year. So I don't know that you're going to see that necessarily right away this year. Inevitably we get to the draft, and there's always a lot of movement, and I think there'll be a lot of movement probably that night. Maybe not as much as normal. I'll say that.
Okay. Speaking of quarterbacks, I wanted to ask you about Baker Mayfield, because I believe he's going into the last year of his deal. Is that an obvious move for Tampa to make, to hand him a new contract, or do they maybe want to see more? Because I don't think they do, Shefty, but do you think those parties right now are inching closer to a new deal, or are they not worried about that at the moment?
I don't know the current state of talks. I do know that they would like to retain him, resign him, and work that out. Now, Baker played unbelievable to start the year, and then the team kind of flattened out later. I do think that they would like to get him resigned. And so it won't surprise me if at some point this offseason, I don't know when exactly, we hear about a Baker Mayfield extension. I could see that happening.
Forgive me if I asked you this last week. Maybe I did, but we've put to rest, or the Browns at least have put to rest, that they're setting up for some potential Garrett trade, that would be actually a very big upset if that happened, correct?
No, I'm not expecting that. Yeah.
Okay. All right, my man. Safe travel. Continue to have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week. We'll talk next Wednesday.
You got it. Adam Schefter, the senior NFL insider for ESPN on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. I think you have the tease.
Oh, yeah. I'll take us to break by saying this. Kirk Cousins is co-signing something AR has been saying for years. Don't miss that next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
Want to start testosterone.org.
Bishop and Friends.
Right next to the big cross where you get Uranus fudge.
Yeah, you've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
The best fudge. The best.
Can we confirm that?
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and 32-ounce Yuengling drafts for only $4. The best bet on the radio. This is Rothman and Ice.
Wow, that was quality tease, Maddie.
I learned from you.
I really didn't.
I learned from the best.
We don't know where this is going.
So, this is involving your former guy, Kirk Cousins.
Cousin Kirk.
Going to break. Out there in Las Vegas now, probably going to start the year. Probably going to start the year out there, which I think is fine. But he had his out of the gate press conference as a Raider.
Okay,
he was asked about a multitude of things, and here's the quote: "Best jerseys in pro sports. I remember being in warmups once playing the Raiders, and our head coach looked at me and said, 'Those have to be the best jerseys that are out there in pro sports.' And I said, 'You know what, coach? I have to agree. Those are really sharp.' You've been on this for years, man. We've had conversations. Yeah, all these alternate uniforms come out and all these different things for teams are throwing out these different colorways and all that. And you've always stood 10 toes down on the logo and the color scheme for the Oakland Raiders and now Las Vegas Raiders. Maybe the best in all of sports.
Amazing he said
so
that.
Your boy is rolling with you. And it's hard to argue. It really is.
Silver and black.
Yeah.
Raider football.
Eye patch.
Swords. Sabers. Yeah. Swords.
Yeah,
and
all of it.
Funny. And now, I'm with people who come to the table with old school San Diego Charger, powder blues. Phenomenal.
The logo is mid, though.
The bolt?
Oh, no, I think that's strong.
The color waves are incredible.
Okay,
the logo is mid.
I don't know what they've done to the logo over the years. It feels like, haven't they modernized it at all a little bit? Now, the Raider has never really changed, I don't believe.
Yeah, the Charger logo is just blah. The colors are fire, but it's really nothing to write home about.
All right.
You know?
They put the numbers on the helmets now, right? Or not all the time. Only when they wear the powder blues?
Maybe. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know.
Zeke, do they put the numbers on the Charger helmets full time now or just for when they're
It looks like
back?
they don't have them on their regular jerseys.
Okay. I mean, the white, when they do the white helmet with the number in powder blue and the lightning bolt,
I actually like their navy blue getup they have too. They kind of go all navy blue as well. But yeah, the Raiders thing too, especially when you're a fan of a team like that.
He said that.
You can just buy so much of the gear because it just pairs so well with a lot. Like, that's why I feel for Browns fans. Like Isaiah, he's a Browns fan.
Oh yeah, the orange and fudge, is that you're not taking that. That's not good.
It's not great. It's not great.
It's really not. I mean, I don't care what you do to it.
Oh man.
I mean, when they wear the all whites though, and there's just like a fudge stripe, then I'm kind of okay with it.
Those cookies though?
Yeah, the fudge stripe. Maybe that should be their logo.
That cookies?
Maybe just a Keebler fudge stripe on the helmet. I think that'd be much better.
I enjoy
that. I buy that.
Yeah, they have the worst.
Well, maybe just put his face, this guy. Maybe you could move on from swagger and just have this guy be the mascot.
Isaiah, let me ask you this. As a Browns fan, are you in on the elf? Does that do anything for you?
I like the elf.
Me too.
I liked it when it was at the 50. I was fine with it on the
50. Wait a minute. The Keebler elf?
Because
you could have the elf on one side and a fudge stripe cookie on the other. And then you'd really have something.
Do you ever, or would you need like a glass of milk with those? Do you like to dip
Absolutely.
Those? Okay. So no, you need milk for
only
those.
For Oreos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't need it for.
You a pull apart Oreo stripe. Guy? Or are you just housing that thing?
I'm pulling that apart.
Interesting.
Yep.
Do you eat the cream first and then the cookie?
Oh, behave.
I think,
yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
I think at a certain age, at a younger age, let me take this back to PG-13. At a younger age, I think you're doing the filling first.
I'm just here to ask the important questions at the presser. That's all I'm here to do. But yeah.
I love that he said it's the greatest. Because if I had to. I own a Raiders t-shirt. I've never. I bought it. Oh, I never wore
that.
It.
Let me see this.
Never wore it. I have it.
You might have bust this thing
out. Got a tag on it still. Like, I've never worn it.
Collecting dust.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll wear it at some point here.
I'm here for Seattle's color scheme. I do like that.
The human highlighters?
I don't like the all neons, though. Like, when they go all neon green, I'm out. When there's a splash of the neon in their navies, they'll roll out, I believe, kind of like a silverish uniform as well. Like, and their logo I'm here for. So I like Seattle.
Yeah, the Raiders is just slick, man. That is as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, silver and black, the pirate, the shield, the swords. It all works.
Yeah.
As a kid, I did like the Dolphins as a kid. I've always said this on the program. I don't know if they brought it back or not. The Dolphin actually wearing the helmet was the best logo.
Yeah, I like that.
When they modernized the Dolphin and kind of flippered it out a little bit.
Like, you can
made
it some snaps.
A little more sleek in the water. Like, I just need a Dolphin wearing the helmet. I've always thought the Falcons was cool. I mean, you can't go wrong with the red, black, and white.
Absolutely.
And the actual Falcon logo is pretty cool.
I'm pretty sure that Tennessee is going back to the Oiler color scheme this year. Like, fully leaning into the baby blue, red and white, which is going to be
a
win
a bit
for them.
Boring, though. I never really thought their logo and everything was.
So you feel about them how I feel about the Chargers. Color scheme, I'm in on. Logo, eh.
I mean, they have a Houston Oiler feel to me, so they're not completely in the basement for me. But yeah, I think Cleveland's way down there in unis.
They might be the worst in the league.
I think the only thing that saves the Giants is the red, white, and blue.
They got a good throwback. When they come out in those Lawrence Taylor throwbacks every once in a while, the Sims throwbacks, like I'm in on those.
I think if you're a traditionalist and you like them, I never thought the pack. I mean, green and gold just doesn't do it for me.
Oh, and they have the worst alternate in the history of the sport.
When the rugby jerseys or whatever they wear.
Oh, man, what is it?
The Killer Bees? That's the Steelers.
No, the Packers have like a navy with brown pants going on with the brown helmet.
Navy and fudge?
Light that on fire like the Joker lit all that money on fire in the Dark Knight, because those things are horrendous, man.
What about the Broncos throwbacks with the blue helmets?
Fantastic.
With the D on them.
With the snorting. Yeah. Oh, not the snorting. Bronco?
This one's just the big D on it.
Snorting, like
Snorting not. Bronco, and this one has the big D on it. Y'all are cooking right now.
Oh, Cousin Kirk.
Oh, yeah, look.
He's going to end his career wearing the silver and black. I think it's probably, it's going a long way for him.
Yeah, and he's made a ton of money. We mentioned it right over, what, $330 million that he's made in his career for a fine career,
The Niners are good because the Niners wear a gold helmet. Like, that's, I think that wins.
Yeah.
The helmet wins.
Yeah, it's good.
The color scheme wins.
Good stuff.
Yeah, all right.
Good stuff. So, yeah, just wanted to go, Cousin Kirk. I saw that and wanted to make your day because your boy's signing off on something you've been saying for years.
Yeah. If I'm going to switch.
Going to the Raiders.
Yeah. I've already got one piece of gear. I don't think I own one piece of any other NFL gear. But I have a Raiders shirt.
I don't have anything either outside of Baltimore.
Well, if you don't have one, we can get you one.
I would like some Raiders stuff. I'll pull that off.
Maybe I'll bring in the shirt. Yeah. Maybe I'll give it to you.
I'll take it. A little early Christmas gift.
All right. I'll bring it in.
All right.
See if it fits.
Maybe a little too tight.
Medium. We're going to come back. Top of the hour, sports update. And this may be the best psychological question of a quarterback or to a quarterback. I for sure would fail this. Would you? You'll get a chance next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We can come.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Ohio State football wrapped up its 10th practice in the spring today. After defensive back spoke to the media and sophomore corner Devin Sanchez said 2026 is the year for him.
Like I said, I feel more confident than I did last year, you know, coming in the door. You know, I was a little nervous, a little timid, but I feel like this year I'm taking that next step in the road that, you know, I got to step up in.
Countdown to the spring game now sits at 10 days. MLB Guardians set to host the Royals at 1:10. Reds visit the Marlins tonight at 6:40. NFL Draft. Texas A&M receiver Casey Concepcion is visiting with the Browns today, per reports. ESPN's Peter Schrager's latest mock draft has the Browns taking him with the 24th pick in the draft. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union, but a best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Topics. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Perfect ratio of sports talk, dogs, pro wrestling, and gambling advice.
It's science.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Right now I'm more confused than ever. Chanel number 5, she's too young, texting and saying, it's a brownie, not an elf. I said, isn't he Brownie the elf?
Talking about like a cosmic brownie?
No, like a brown, you know, like, wasn't there like Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and Brownies and
am I wrong? I don't remember.
Oh, I was a Cub Scout.
Okay, yeah.
Never made it all the way. Interesting. Yeah, Pac 34, I believe. Ooh, Walter Payton.
You're speaking foreign language to me right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I was not in the Boy Scout world
Cub
at all.
Scouts?
Cub Scouts?
Not for me. Eagle Scout?
No.
No.
Weebelows?
Is that something you wanted to do or you were forced to do?
I don't remember being forced to do it.
Okay.
But
sounds like you wanted it.
I mean, you got a uni. You got that bright gold. You got that gold belt buckle. You had that.
Oh, flexible.
I mean, you had the patches and everything.
Okay. What'd that do for you? Did that, you know?
Built some character. I don't know where. I wasn't sure. I was a part of something, Maddie.
Yeah, that was.
Felt like it was part of a team.
Okay. I like that. I like that. But no, I
don't know what we did.
I don't think I had any interest in being a Boy Scout growing up. I don't know why. It wasn't even on my, I don't think any of my friends were Boy Scouts growing up. I don't know if that's because of where I grew up. Like, I don't know what that is. Like,
you could have just done what I did and just started with Cub Scouts and then bailed. You know, that's like through fifth grade.
Okay.
Like, and then just say, I've had enough of these guys.
Yeah. Take gold belt and go home.
Welcome to the Cub Scouts.
So Chanel 5, he's
making friends.
Okay.
Just, you know.
They still kicking, the old Boy Scouts?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Fun, rewarding experience that I can't even remember. To my good friend, Charlie Flynn, who I don't even know.
What's your boy? So he's saying
he's
that it's
brownie,
not
the brownie. We aren't that creative with our mascots. You got creative because somehow you created a dog pound and made that your mascot. Like somehow you had like you have a couple different mascots, but
I mean Google's telling me it's Brownie the Elf.
That's what I thought.
The historic folkloric mascot for the Cleveland Browns, originating in 1946.
Yeah, it really should be changed to Keebler the Elf.
It was named after Paul Brown, Coach Paul Brown. So yeah,
you mean they did a caricature of him?
Google's telling me.
All right, this is the greatest psychological question. When I heard this, I don't even know who this is. Zeke's going to tell us. So I don't know who this is, but I like it. And I would have failed miserably because I would have overanalyzed, I would have second-guessed, and I would have said, well, I'm not sure I can commit to that. And then he would have flunked me, and I would have been off the team, or at least second string.
Who are we about to hear from? Todd?
I can't be sure this guy's perfect name. I think it's Koa Kauai.
Sure.
Oregon quarterback coach.
Koa, Campgrounds of America. We'll stay with the Cub Scout theme. Go ahead.
Like I ask him a question like this all the time. Hey, do you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? Okay, the minute a kid pauses, I don't really want that kid, right? Because you need to have some type of conviction, right, wrong, or indifferent. Okay? So whether you like chocolate or you like vanilla, I don't really care. But if you sit there and say, ah, coach, I don't know. I want, is it melted? Is it not? What's the brand? So on and so forth. Like, what is this kid going to do on third down in front of 110,000? He's probably going to think about it more than he should. He's not going to have conviction, right? So it's, like I just said, long-winded, I understand, but it's the mental aspect is really what we're after.
I love it. I actually love it. I've never heard a coach do that. I would be asking, is it soft serve or is this basket? Or like, what am I getting? Is it a cone or a cup? Like, I would have gone through the whole thing and he would have said, you, out of here.
I'm calling BS on that. Because if he's sitting down with a five-star high school recruit at quarterback and he comes back to Dan Lanning and says, I'm passing on this kid or we're passing on this kid because he couldn't pick vanilla or chocolate ice cream. Dan Lanning's going to fire him on the spot.
He doesn't want a guy who hems and haws.
Come
though.
On, man. Like,
he wants you to pick something and go with it.
I get what he's trying to say, but that's a little ridiculous. That's a little ridiculous. And
so
by the way,
you're calling BS on that. He may like it, but he's going to judge it on an individual basis.
I'm calling BS on him, AR. Like, it's like do or die that he's going to pass on a player because in a blink of an eye, he doesn't pick vanilla or chocolate.
Okay,
and the answer is obviously vanilla. Right. Obviously. That's chocolate. Come on, what are we doing?
Mint chocolate chip.
I'm a smoothie.
That's a win.
That wasn't the question. He would have flunked you out, too.
Does that give me bonus points or I go down?
No, down.
Maybe he's an out-of-the-box thinker. He might like that.
I'm scrambling on third down.
I would say if you answered immediately and said, those suck, give me mint chocolate chip. Me, I would have answered, I would have frozen.
Okay.
And then I would have thought, are we talking soft serve or scoops? And I would have just taken him through a whole weird, because when I was a kid, it was vanilla in a sugar cone, and that was it.
Okay.
And now I'm much more leaning to soft serve.
Okay. In a cone.
Or in a cup. Or give me a dilly bar.
Oh, yeah,
dilly Buster bar. Yeah. They have found a way to put a peanut Buster parfait on a stick. It's incredible.
We need our boy Mike Todd to run some of those over here.
Well, yeah.
He's busy right now.
Yeah, I don't want to make more. It's a special thing.
Mike, I want more.
Yeah. All right, so you would have just said, you wouldn't have hesitated. You'd be on the team. He'd be kind of, we'll see, and I would be done.
You'd be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have said vanilla just right out of it. And I actually would have said, Coach, vanilla bean. Because there's levels to this.
Perfection and fear of failure. Yeah, that's probably me. Perfection's paradox. Individuals with high standards may delay responding because they are obsessively crafting the perfect reply. This can lead to anxiety where the delay becomes so long, they eventually give up, appearing to ignore the message. Me in a nutshell. That's it.
When I was out a couple weeks ago, and I went down to that event in Cincinnati, this big radio.
Oh, yeah, the insurance seminar.
With Fish, there was a former program director that told a story about a host that they were interviewing, right, for a potential gig there on their radio station, and they took him out to lunch. And it was the GM and it was the program director, and they went to a burger joint. And the guy that they were interviewing that wanted the hosting gig was eating his burger, and he had a beard, and AR, the GM didn't like how the guy was eating the burger. Like, it was messy, right? Like, he had cheese and onions all in his beard. And after that interview or that lunch, the GM said to the program director, I'm not hiring that guy because of how he ate his burger.
Poppy's a little sloppy.
And the program director said, why not? This has nothing to do with his skill set on the air.
And that's what I think about with that coach. Who cares about what ice cream he picks and the amount of time he picks it? As a quarterback, can you read a defense and pick up a 3rd and 5 when we need it? So that's what I care about.
The follow-up to that, to this coach, is do your analytics reward you for this thinking? Meaning, you've thought about this. You've played it out with certain athletes. Are you shooting 100%? The guys you keep that answered immediately, have they always turned out to be unflappable in pressure situations? Like that, and if he said, absolutely.
What if he said, yes, it's been Dylan Gabriel and Bo Nix. Thank you very much. I know what I'm doing.
You know what you should have said to that guy, the guy that told the story down at the seminar you were dragged to?
Yeah.
You should have said this.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
I think that would have been a great response.
But I did think the GM's perspective was a little crazy. That you're not going to take a guy because he wasn't clean cut eating a burger?
Yeah, but if you went on an interview, you're not ordering wings. You're not doing that to yourself because you don't want to go through 20 napkins and you just don't want to be that guy. You're probably going to order. Now, you are different because you'll eat clean and there'll be nothing there that'll be too sloppy. There'll be a lot of sauces and things.
You're right.
But that's why, I mean, you probably want to order something you're going to need to eat with a fork.
Okay.
And salad, not your hands. Yeah.
Maybe a little steak and veggies, something like that.
I just would say, if I'm going on an interview, I'm ordering something that spells utensils.
Okay, so the same thing applies to this that applies to, let's say, a first date, right?
Same deal.
Okay.
Unless you're the person that says, and this is probably the better way to go, if this is who I am, we're getting it out of the way now.
Take it or leave
it. I'm not going to fake it.
Right.
And
the program director had the opposite mentality. He was like, I don't care about how he's dressing or how he eats a cheeseburger.
If you go to lunch with somebody and something lands on their shirt,
okay,
like ketchup gets in the lapel or something weird,
yeah,
you notice it, they don't.
Yeah.
But it's not a great friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's an acquaintance, you're on a business lunch, something.
Yeah.
Do you say anything? Because I'm in the mindset of I say nothing.
I think
they'll find out later.
One of my biggest pet peeves in life is when someone doesn't tell me I have a booger or something in my eye or something like that. Like, tell me. And I also think things can get maybe a little weird because the eye contact starts to go south. Because me personally, I would be distracted by the ketchup on their blazer.
What if it's hidden a little bit?
Then that's even more of a distraction. Like if I'm getting just like a little hint of it every once in a while, I'd just be like, hey, you know, you got a little drip of ketchup on your shirt right there. I think that's
looking out for it is, but I look at it, it's more of embarrassing them.
I don't think so. Mm. If you told me that, I'd be like, that's a good guy right there.
All right.
He's got my back.
Maybe that's the way to go.
He's looking out for
me. Where are you on that?
I'd tell him.
You'd tell him.
Yeah. But I don't have any issues keeping my eyes up.
Just like you told me. Oh, see, he's a good man.
I don't have any issues keeping my eyes up.
But just like you
told me. Sounds like Maddie kind of struggles with it a little bit.
He really does. I'm up here.
Well, I got to ask him this, AR. Just like you told me all those times, you know, when I was calling you Isaac on the air, that your name wasn't Isaac.
That's different.
No, it's
different.
No, it's not.
No.
He was calling you by the wrong name for 3 hours.
I would have told you, had we been talking.
You could have
referencing me.
No, you should have hopped on there and be like, Matty Ace, you got it all wrong.
Sorry about that, Matty.
Yeah. Well, how about
producer,
in the first commercial
here, my name's not Isaac.
How about in the first commercial break?
Yeah. I'm Isaiah, not Isaac.
You let him call you, because guess what? You didn't want to make him feel bad.
Not after the first time. I was like, you know, we're probably good. He's not going to say it again during the show, would he? And then he closed it with it. And I was like, ah, man, I should have said something.
I felt horrible. And I told him, no, correct me on the air. I want to get your name right, man. I got to respect your name for sure.
We're coming back with ins and outs. And maybe Zeke will include something that Coach Monken had to say about his quarterback derby. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the highest-rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Spring is here.
Skip Musick has been on The Fan for nearly 80 years, and during that time, he's worn many hats. Executive producer for Ohio State Athletics, talk show host, private detective when Ron Stokes loses his phone.
Somebody do something!
He's done it all. But his proudest accomplishment, host of Tee to Green. If it has anything to do with golf in Central Ohio, Skip's on it. Cheers to the next 80 years, Skipper. And listen to Tee to Green, Saturday mornings at 9 here on The Fan. Fan weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine as we go into the day today, with highs getting in the mid to low 60s. And then for tonight, not as cold overnight, with mostly clear skies and lows in the mid to upper 40s. For Thursday, we'll see more sunshine and breezy winds, and daytime highs soar in the mid to upper 70s. So get out there and enjoy the beautiful weather. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on the Fan app.
Rothman and Ice present In or Out.
Just a little of the old In and Out.
Indeed. All right, you may have to bring your music accompaniment down for the old Munkin. I don't know how clear the audio is, but I think you're going to give it a shot.
Almost every position on your team is going to be a heated battle. Every year is a new year. I mean, it resets every year. I don't care where you are. Whether it's your offense and defensive systems, whether it's players, you have to reset in the offseason. So there's heated competition everywhere. From a quarterback's perspective, it's a little bit more difficult just because their number one job is to get us in the end zone. And that's a little bit harder to really drill down. A couple of different reasons why. One is you're not playing any games. You don't have pads on. No one's live. So you really don't get a real feel for their athleticism, ability to escape, and playmake. That's probably one of the hardest things over the years of when you have athletic quarterbacks. I go, yeah, this guy looks a little better in 7-on-7. Yeah, well, the game isn't 7-on-7. It absolutely isn't. Who makes plays? Who's got an inner toughness to move the offense and get us in the end zone? And then ultimately, who does the team believe in? And usually that correlates. The team's going to believe in the guy that gives us the best chance to score and win. And when the game's on the line, whether it's third downs, fourth downs, 2 minute, that they feel comfortable like we would want, that the ball's in their hands.
You mentioned the importance.
That was Munkin talking about the quarterback competition. Now, when I hear that, he's talking about improvising. He's talking about the guy that people believe in. Maybe he doesn't look so good in 7-on-7s, but can he make plays happen? Is he hinting that Deshaun Watson might be taking over this quarterback competition?
I'm going to take him at his word. I don't think he knows for sure. I really don't. I think that Shador can certainly do a little too much playgrounding, right, and keeping plays alive. I mean, that can be coached for sure. I think he's intrigued by Deshaun. I think any coach would be. He didn't give him the deal. All he knows is one thing. He's on my team. Mm-hmm. And that means that I have to judge him the way I judge other players. And I've said this for a while. I look at this from a GM or an ownership standpoint. I got to be very careful, because if Deshaun's good but not great, then I've wasted a year of seeing if Shador will be. And then also, now I'm in a point where I'm probably not going to give Deshaun another long-term deal unless he lights the world on fire and he stays healthy. That's the risk that they may be willing to take. And I'm just wondering if Haslam is in that camp of letting Munkin just, you're the guy. You got hired. You make the decision. Or I'm wondering if Haslam's saying, it'd probably be best to keep leaning into Shador to see if we got something.
Didn't we get a comment from old Jimmy last week at the owners' meeting that maybe you could turn this thing into a home run again or something like that with Deshaun, to where he was breathing a little life into the Deshaun situation still? I like that soundbite from Munkin right there. I think that's where you should be as a coach, being very measured about what you see in certain situations and certain drills and all that stuff throughout practice. One thing I do find fascinating about Munkin and some of the things he's been saying is he did come out and say that the quarterback reps are not going to be divided evenly. And so my mind went to, okay, well, between, because I think this thing is between Deshaun and Shador. I think Dylan's on the outside looking in right now. Like, that's just my feel on it at the moment. But I like that he's throwing that out there, because you got to get your team ready to go. And you got to find out sooner rather than later who your guy is. So it doesn't sound like to me that Munkin's going to drag this thing out. Like, I think he's going to allow these guys to get a nice amount of work in with the ones themselves. But maybe in short order, come training camp, early on in training camp, he's going to make a decision, or at least we'll be able to see where he's leaning based off of where the reps are going. Because he's already saying, I'm not doing this down 50-50 for all these guys.
I'm with you on that. Haslam has already kind of hinted that he thinks that Deshaun could win the starting job, or maybe even, dare I say, he's more intrigued by it. Like, Let's see if I can recoup some of the money that I've already paid out.
Right.
I looked at it from sometimes the opposite view, which is I need to mentally, this is the old, I need to cut bait. I can't do it anymore. I can't throw good money after bad. But I think he's an owner. He wants to win. He's paid him a lot of money. I feel he's got a new coach. He's going to let him judge it. I think you're right. He's probably confident that Deshaun can win the job, which puts a lot of pressure on Shedeur Sanders. And maybe that's what they want in the end game, for Shedeur not to think he's gifted this job, or that by just staying around during the offseason and gifting him some porcelain horse that he's displaying in his office like some child that brought home something from school that he made and I got to put it on my desk.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe this is what they want. They want Shedeur thinking that you don't have an edge, even though you were the one that played last year.
I agree. Let me ask you this. Do you care or not that Myles Garrett isn't there at voluntary workouts?
I hate that.
That he's not there.
No, I hate when they put voluntary on something, but they attach some sort of, reward-based system on it. Like, yeah, it's not mandatory, but, like, I've asked bosses recently here about something, about attending something.
Okay.
And I've used the phrase, is it mandatory? And I've gotten the answer of, we'd like you to be there.
Oh.
Well, what is that?
That means you better be there. That's what it means.
Yeah,
I don't it's code I like for that. I need you to be there.
Then just call it mandatory.
Yeah. Then I want you there.
Because they're testing people then on what your commitment level is and whether you're going to go the extra mile.
No question. Yeah. And it's something that they keep in the back of their minds. Like, oh, Anthony didn't show up for this. Like, I don't know if they're punishing you down the line, anything like that. But I don't care that Miles. I don't care that Miles isn't there. I also don't agree with their stance that it's just a non-discussion that they're not going to trade him. Like, I don't agree with that, with where they are as a team right now. I think you get something out of the draft picks that you would get back for him, while I think the perception of him, and while it's not even perception, it's reality that he is still a one-of-one defensive player with where their timeline is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd do it.
You guys ready for another one?
Yep.
NBA playoffs approaching quickly. The Cavs, 3 games to go. And we've went through this a couple years in a row with them. Right now, the Detroit Pistons are the 1 seed. You got the Celtics at the 2. The Cavs just 1 game back of the Knicks. Are you guys in or out on the Cavs should tank a couple games here at the end of the season to avoid the Celtics and try to pick their path for the playoffs? They did this a couple years ago when they tanked out the Hornets game at the end of the season because they wanted the Magic in the first round to avoid the Celtics, and they almost lost to the Magic. Should you try to pick your playoff path, or does that come with some bad intentions?
I like that you said what you said at the end, because you're messing with the basketball gods a little bit. But I go on what I know that's tangible. Maybe you'll co-sign this. Whatever's going to make our life easier and our path better. I'm not going to go all in if it helps me avoid the Celtics. Why would I?
100%. Like, I'm in on them avoiding Boston for as long as they can, especially since Tatum's been back. He looks awesome. The team itself has been awesome all year without him, and now the standings over the next couple of games to avoid the Celtics, because they're looking like an absolute machine right now.
They've done this before.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't new, right?
The teams do it all the time.
No, I mean the Cavs. A couple years ago when they wanted that matchup with Orlando.
They did it, They tanked the last game against the Hornets. They pulled everyone out. I think they were up by like 15 points, and they lost the final game of the regular season to avoid the Celtics and play the Magic. They almost lost.
Weren't they going to avoid Washington at some point, too?
I think they did it once with the Heat, too. When the Heat kept on sitting really low in the playoff runs with Jimmy Butler, they tried to avoid them once. So it's one of those things where it's, when you do it, I get that you want the easiest path, but then if you end up losing to the team that you picked, that's when it looks bad.
And that's when you talk about kind of messing with the karma of it all and just feeling like you orchestrated something negatively and you sent the wrong message to your team. But I remember when they avoided Beal and John Wall, like I remember there were times where they've done this, and
And they're already up against it, too, with how they're viewed as a playoff team. Like, they've had these really good regular season runs,
But these now the trio of, you know, Mobley, Allen and Donovan Mitchell prior to Harden coming into town, it was like, okay, like, what are you guys going to do in the postseason? Yeah. And it started with that embarrassing Knicks series. And now here they are with James Harden, a new toy that they can roll out there. Mm-hmm. And so, look, they were tabbed as one of the teams that could represent the Eastern Conference. They still have the chance to do that. Obviously, they'd help themselves by not seeing Boston until the Eastern Conference Finals.
Things changed because when the Celtics got Tatum back, they're a different squad now. Incredible. So this is not the Cavs' fault because the way it's set up, it just the Celtics got a boost.
No question.
Maybe we
one
didn't,
of the best
sure
in the league.
Yeah, they weren't sure they were getting. Yeah. So now, I think the Cavs have earned the right to respond accordingly. What's best for us?
Make life as easy as you can for yourself. Who cares what the outside noise is? It's about winning.
All right, we're going to come back in 2 minutes with our guy, Cam Meller, the PFSN Network 365. I want to find out from him, like, how good is Texas going to be this year? How big will that game be when Ohio State goes down there after the ramp up against Ball State? We'll ask him next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up, knuckleheads? You're listening to Rothman and Ice on The Fan. It's not terrible.
Not usually, and especially not now. We got a guy, Cam Meller, on the program. PFSN 365, Chief Analytics Officer, and a lot more. Cam, welcome back.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, let's fast forward a little bit. Let's get past spring. Let's get past fall camp. How good is Texas going to be? What kind of game are you anticipating between Ohio State and Texas, part deux?
Oh, I think if you look at what we saw the tail end of their season be, the Longhorns, that is, and the growth of that Arch Manning, I think, showed, I still think that there's a lot more to give and a lot more that we can expect from that team specifically. The bowl game performance out, I still think that there's a lot more. And they're probably too far much of an amalgamation of all their pieces. So Arch Manning is going to have to be that guy and be that Heisman candidate that they want to be in order to compete with what I think that the Buckeyes will have this season.
No question. Cam, let's stick with some Ohio State talk here, and let's get your take on Arthur Smith, because Coach Day, over the last couple of years, he's been, you know, bringing in guys with this NFL experience, former head coaches and Chip Kelly, and now you have Matt Patricia, and now Arthur Smith is here as the offensive coordinator, the connective piece between Julian saying and what the offense is going to look like. So the Arthur Smith hire and how you think that's going to work out here in Columbus, your thoughts?
Yeah, to me, I mean, if you're a young quarterback, if you're a quarterback with pro aspirations and you want to be coached properly, Arthur Smith is the guy for you. And I didn't think that we'd have him in college football, to be honest with you, with the way that his trajectory was, what the 1 year, I believe, at Ole Miss as an intern. Like, we're talking about a guy who has done it and cut his teeth in the pros. And so as college football takes the turn to being more like the AAA baseball minor league, so to speak, for the NFL, Julian saying that offensive line, all those skill players, you're not missing anything by having him in the building. Actually, you're gaining a whole bunch of professional experience and just how they can run themselves, but also on the offense. So to me, I think Saiyan gets that added era of professionalism in his game.
Who do you have tabbed as, like, the rebound program this year? Who jumps out
to
you?
That's a tough one. Yeah, it's a tough one. Honestly, I want to see what a team like Florida State puts together. I think that we saw maybe some pieces that they put out last year. And I know Tommy Castellanos is maybe not the answer at quarterback, but what they have on defense and what they're able to bring back and what they were able to do in the portal, maybe not necessarily rebounding into national prominence, but at least contending in the ACC, but then Clemson. There's so much more left on that bone with so many more players that are coming back and what they actually not afraid to hit the portal. So I would not be surprised to see that Clemson team in the ACC with maybe a one loss type of team.
So the team that jumped out to me, and I don't know, maybe it's their schedule, maybe it's a new coach, but I'm really curious about Penn State. They won't play the Buckeyes. They won't play Indiana or Oregon. I think I have to double check. I think they avoid all of them in the regular season. And they got a new coach in Campbell. And I know they got a lot of holes. They only have 5 returning starters. What has he done quickly to try to get that to snap back?
We're talking about Ames Light out in State College, right? It's essentially the entire Iowa State roster coming over as well, which credit to him for what he was able to build. But they were a middling to above average Big 12 team. I don't really see that roster, that team competing right away. I love the pieces. I love what he was able to do. And Rocco Becht obviously having as much experience as he does at quarterback and there's a lot you can like with Carson Hansen and the running back room, but also Chase. I mean, there's a lot on offense that I think you like, but I think that this defense is not going to be built right away to contend and compete with the likes of the Big Ten offenses. Mm-hmm. Yes, the schedule is very, very favorable for them, but I think that they still drop a few because they're missing maybe one or two recruiting classes or transfer portal classes that they need to build up.
All right, let's go out to Eugene and talk about Oregon and specifically their quarterback room right now, because I got to admit, Cam, I was really surprised when Dante Moore said, hey, you know what, I want some more of college football, because we'd probably be talking about right now us knowing what the number one and two picks in the draft would be, with Mendoza going to Las Vegas and then Dante Moore probably going to the Jets at two. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you by that? But a two-parter here, the Dylan Raiola fit out there as well. Do you think that's going to be a good marriage in time for him and that program?
Yeah, so I could probably answer the first one maybe faster. I was just as surprised, but then when you really bake it down and boil it down, is did he really want to land in New York? Perhaps maybe is the issue there for him. So credit to him for having the foresight, but also this is the new era of football where you can be making $4 or $5 million, play 12 games this season, maybe make the college football playoffs, hopefully make the college football playoffs, and then have a lot less pressure on you than going pro and playing for a team like New York. So credit to him for having the foresight, if that's really where we're at. He makes the game better, being back, college football better at least. For Dylan Raiola, maybe he has that same similar foresight. I need to go to a program that's going to coach me up. I need to get out of my comfort zone, get away from my family, so to speak, my father's alma mater, et cetera, my uncle. And maybe he understands that these Oregon coaching staff is able to build him up and build him into a better NFL quarterback. That's his ultimate goal, his trajectory, right? And I think as long as he can sit this year and learn, it's worked for Oregon quarterbacks in the past, so I don't see it not working for him.
Covers both pro football and college, Pro Football and Sports Network 365, our friend Cam Meller. How big, if at all, a step back does Indiana have to take here from a potential championship hangover, or would you fully expect them to be a national title contender this year?
It's tough. I fully expect them to be a contender in the Big Ten, and if they make it to the college football playoffs with one of those losses, or even if they're the second or third Big Ten team in the playoff field, I absolutely would be scared to play them if I'm anybody in the country. I think what they were able to replace, and we have no issue saying that Coach Cignetti can take a transfer quarterback with the experience that they do and plug him and play him in at a high level immediately. We've seen it now 2 years in a row. No reason to not think that Josh Hoover will jump right in and be just as good. But I think we need a little bit more. The offensive line lost maybe, right guard, I believe. But we've got some lack of talent on the back end of the secondary. That's the only real piece that scares me, is that secondary and this team, how they rebound.
So the Michigan program right now is riding a high because of what the basketball team was able to do. And now here comes Kyle Whittingham, you know, coming in from Utah and some very solid years out there. And so when you look at the asset and Bryce Underwood that he's going to have to work with right out of the gate, Kyle Whittingham, how quickly do you believe he can get this Michigan program rocking and rolling at a pretty high level?
Yeah, I think he's the exact opposite of Matt Campbell at Penn State. I believe that there's going to be some growing pains with Campbell getting into Big Ten football. But if any team out in the Big 12 played Big Ten football for the past 2 decades, it was the Utah Utes under Coach Whittingham. And I think the way that they build the team is very similar to how Michigan built this team. It's an incredibly deep offensive line group, incredibly tenacious on both sides of the trenches as well. So bringing John Henry Daly, Smith Snowden over as well on the defensive side, I think that they're ready to compete right away. It's all just going to come down on, do they trust Bryce Underwood to be a passing quarterback, or do they even need him to? So that running back room is going to take a big step forward if this team sees a bunch of success. I think it all comes down to Bryce Underwood, though.
So as you know, last summer there was so much chatter about how good the quarterback class was going to be, right? Whether it was Sellers or Manning or Nussmeier or all those guys that we were hyping up. It didn't really work out that way, but there seems to be some of that same buzz out there about what the 27 class could look like. And you got all these teams maybe with their eye on those guys and getting up as high as they can. And so the crop of quarterbacks we'll be watching a lot in the fall. Do you really believe that these guys are true big time prospects, or are you in wait and see mode with the guys that'll be suiting it up on Saturdays this season?
Yeah, I think that maybe at the top we have a clear cut one and two, that had they been eligible, had they declared for the draft, and Julian Sain and Dante Moore. We're talking about, like you mentioned earlier, maybe knowing first one and two overall pick behind Mendoza with Dante Moore as well. So I think we have those two that we want. You can crown Julian Sayin as probably the best of this entire group easily as well, in my opinion. But after that, you have more. And then we have probably the unknowns. We know Archman is going to get drafted at some point. We know that a guy like Sellers has too many traits as well. But then I really like the unknown ability, though, here with a guy like Drew Messmaker, with Jaden Maivaa, CJ Carr. Can they take those next leaps? And I think that's what we're in wait and see. We're in wait and see for how many more we get in round one, because we're already almost guaranteed two with Sayin and Moore.
Well done. Love having you on, Cam. Can't wait to talk the rest of the year with you about ball. And we appreciate your time, bud. Be well.
My pleasure, guys. Yeah, thanks as always.
Cam Mellor, Pro Football Sports Network 365, with us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I did confirm that Penn State avoids Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon in the regular season.
Okay.
They have at Michigan, and they do go to Washington.
When is the Michigan game? Is it early or late?
Mid, and it's coming off a home game.
And I think that's what you want if you're Matt Campbell, right, is to gain some traction if you can early on. Not have to worry about going into a tough environment where, while I like having Rocco under center for him, right? Like, you bring in a guy that knows how to operate within the offense and you know what you're going to get from him. But I think you want some of those, what could be more challenging games on paper at that midpoint and beyond if you can avoid it. Or if you actually, I think that's what you want.
But the deeper dive is that Michigan will be coming off a bye.
Okay. The leap from Bryce Underwood is going to be wild to see, man. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy was supposed to be the second coming of an absolute dude and a, you know, future first round pick, top five pick in the making. He looked like a freshman last year, so you can't really knock him too much. But how quickly that happens for them is obviously a very big deal.
The pressure that's on Michigan is that they're going to have to be good early. They're going to have to pick off their home games. They're going to have to beat Iowa. They're going to have to try to beat Penn State. They should. They're going to try to pick off Indiana in late October. They get them all at home, because if they screw up early or early mid, they know they're going to Oregon. They know they're coming to Columbus, and they cannot rescue their season if they don't do something early.
They got to clean up.
Like, they don't have anything to burn. Like, I don't think they can get into the last 3 weeks of their season with two losses.
Mm-hmm. It's not where they want to be.
Yeah. All right. We're going to come back with the Buckeye Bulletin. Jeremiah Smith on the Temptations. And then the ultimate stiff arm. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination. For the old days when football used to have an off-season, well, we at the Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, as voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on the Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV Plus.
I started my com.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Save up to 50% on new windows from windownation.com.
All right, kind of a fun story here first. RJ Day, coach's son, got an offer from Brian Hartline. Come on down to South Florida.
Get some of this sunshine, huh? Okay, good for him. That's cool. I like that.
What's he going to say? It's a nice little safety school. Maybe I'll wait. Want to play for my dad?
That is going to be interesting, because RJ's a junior right now, or a senior? I think RJ's a junior off the top of my head.
I think this is it. No, I think
this is his senior year.
Isn't this it, Zeke?
I'm looking here.
I think it's gone pretty
fast.
Class
of 2027, it says. So I think that means he's a junior, right?
That sounds correct to me.
Class of 27?
So next year.
No.
He'll graduate next year.
Right, but this would be coming up his last year.
Yes, so he's a junior right now in school.
Yeah, okay, we're saying the same thing.
Yeah, he's a junior.
He's got one more season of college football. I mean, high school football.
No, if he's a junior, he'll have two.
Okay, I'm lost.
No, he has one more season.
Yeah, one more.
He's going to be a senior next year.
That's what I mean.
It's the spring. Yeah, 6 months from now.
They're already in April. Because they're in school right now. He is a junior. When the next football season starts, he's a senior.
One more season.
I got you.
Okay. I was speaking in football terms.
You told me there would be no math.
That's
they are.
Sorry. All right. We'll move on from that story.
No, that's cool, though. I like that. You have in front of you the offers that he has outside of USF?
I've got him here.
What else has he got cooking?
It says right now the crystal ball is saying Purdue is the most likely. At 56%. We've also got Bowling Green, Miami of Ohio, Syracuse, Boston College, some of the top ones.
Okay, so he's got two former Buckeyes offering him Scalies. Well, Eddie George up there in Bowling Green and Heartline down there in Tampa. Okay. Cool, man. Good for him.
Him and the Big Ten would pick Purdue.
That'd be fun to see. Him going up against his pops in time.
What's that pitch like? Listen,
for Purdue?
Our over-under is about 3.5 wins.
You probably start day one.
Can you be the guy to help us win four?
You're starting day one.
That's we want to hit the over. I mean, we haven't won a conference game in about 1,000 days. We'd like to reset that at zero.
What was their conference
record? I don't want to see that.
No, you're probably not far off. I just want to see what it was last year. Because now
we want you to be the guy.
Purdue last year, AR, in the Big Ten, 0-9.
Right, that's why. It's been a long time.
0-9. Oh, man. The year before that?
Keep it going back.
0-9.
Yeah. That's what I mean. All right, so now I'm at what? So I may be right. It is probably over 1,000 days.
Yeah. Yeah, because going back to the...
Let's see. Let's do some
the
math.
The 23-20, by the way. My mind's going to explode.
So
you've got
two
0-9s back-to-back.
So 2 years would be 730 days.
The 23-24 season, they were 3-6 in the conference.
But when did they get the last one?
You're asking the wrong guy. Right. I need a Texas Instrument calculator. That's what I need.
Those were the watch? You don't know about the watch. I think there was a calculator watch. Have you ever heard of that?
I don't think I have.
There was a digital watch that also had a calculator on it.
Oh.
Like where I actually press the buttons.
And you had that in school?
I thought that was a... When you said Texas Instruments, I do remember that calculator.
That was like the company
that was the big boy. Like that had everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had all the square roots and everything else.
The best. The best.
Or the worst. And then they had a watch.
Okay.
I don't know if Texas Instruments made the calculator watch.
Yeah, I'm not hip to that.
Boy, that would be... Casio. It's a Casio.
And how were those allowed in school?
Well, I think if you had a teacher that paid attention that wasn't trying to make it with the social studies teacher, that maybe they'd identify that. But my math teacher and my social studies teacher, they were... I eyeballed that. I was kind of jealous because she was great.
Oh, they were an item.
I think so. Whatever an item meant back then.
A little sneaky link, as I like to call it. A little sneaky link. Okay.
Yeah, Casio made the calculator watch, Maddie. That's a baller.
I think the only watches I was rocking was like a G-Shock. I got one of those as a gift.
Yeah. I love those.
Man, the G-Shocks
still make them
popping back.
Now they're still doing. I think they hit their peak, but I think they're still
out there.
Yeah, I think they got all sorts of different styles.
What rollies you got?
Nope, no rollies.
No rollies.
Not that guy. Nope. Not even a knockoff rope. Not even an X-Lax.
Okay. Okay.
Rolex X-Lax. You guys didn't get it, but that's all right.
Somebody got it. At least you hope.
All right, speaking of a guy that can afford that, as many as he wants, can get a watch case, is Jeremiah Smith. And his value... So the NCAA transfer portal is the... Everyone's talking about that. And certainly he could have written his ticket anywhere he wanted. So Jeremiah Smith is going to be the top guy taken next year. But he could have taken advantage of even more. Do you have sound or is this just a quote?
I've got a quote for you.
Okay.
And this was with On3's Chris Lowe. And the quote from Jeremiah is this. Quote, over $10 million easy. But that's not how I operate. When he was asked about programs AR trying to swoop in and say, you really want to be in Columbus, big dog? Here's $10 million. I'm not surprised at all, AR. He said, quote,
really?
I might have grown up in South Florida, but I'm a Buckeye. That's not changing. I wasn't going
anywhere. I guess what I meant by I'm not surprised is the offer that was made to him.
I kind of am in that. How do you get the return on that unless you if you don't win at all? Like, what would you look at that as? We just spent $10 million on a receiver season and didn't win it?
Maybe part of the return would be him being attached to your program if he has a really good NFL career. Selling that, maybe, some of that. I think what you mentioned is probably what you want, though, is for him to hit the ground running for you right away. Do we think this was Miami?
Oh, you think it was the one team?
Come on home, pair up with Malachi Toney. I think they just brought in the quarterback that was playing for Duke last year. I want to say he is. Maybe it was even like Texas Tech's got to be in the mix. They're just throwing around stupid money in college football right now. So maybe it was them. I don't know if he'll ever admit on record. Maybe he will in years to come. But
he said, I think everyone here knows who it was, but refused to say the name. So that feels like Miami.
The team in the 305.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I didn't think they were top 10 in NIL collect. I didn't know they were.
Maybe they're ready to go all in.
Florida might be, but not them.
You think they're maybe in the headspace of we were so close.
Yeah,
let's go. This is the guy that'll put us over the top.
Unless I'm wrong about that. I don't know if any of these numbers are that accurate, but I never remember seeing Miami up there. But you're right. They may be reaping the benefits of the momentum of last year.
Yeah. So there you go. Good news for you, Buckeye fans. Your guy is all in. All in.
Maybe Michael Irvin just said. No, I doubt it. All right, that's your Buckeye Bulletin. He stiff-armed $10 million to stay here in Columbus. But it wasn't stiff-arming all the $10 million because he's, you know, we got to take the net off of what may be offered and what he's already getting. That's what he may have left on the table. We'll come back top of the hour, and we'll head down to Augusta and join our friend Dave Shedlowski, the editor of the Memorial magazine. He's doing stuff for Augusta. He's been covering this sport for years. We'll get his lay of the land down there next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Tinny.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan.
Care Heating and Cool.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Guardians lead the Royals 4-0 midway through the third from Cleveland. Cleveland scoring from a Chase DeLutter two-run double and Reese Hoskins RBI double in the first. Then a Jose Ramirez RBI two-bagger in the second. Tonight, Reds visit the Marlins at 6:40. In golf, Masters Par 3 contest underway from Augusta National. Jacob Bridgman leads at 2-under. Three aces so far, Justin Thomas the first on hole 2, Wyndham Clark on 7, then Keegan Bradley at 8. First round begins Thursday at 7:40 in the morning. NHL Blue Jackets are off tonight before visiting the Sabres Thursday at 7. CBJ 2 points out of the East's second wildcard spot, trailing the Ottawa Senators. This update, sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling, together to serve you better. Schedule your visit today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here with the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, less than a day away. Par 3 contest at the Masters. One of the great traditions of all the traditions. Maybe none is more endearing because of the kids, and they bring their families and the wives and girlfriends and all everybody. The whole family's there. It's the one day or one of the days where you can actually take pictures, not with your phone, but with an old school camera. I still own a digital camera. I brought one down there a couple years ago, but Wednesday's the day. The only thing you don't want to do is you don't want to win the par three, because I believe no one's ever won the big tournament if they've won the par three. And the man on the line can confirm that for me, who's Golf Digest. He does so much here for the Memorial, editor of the Memorial Mag. And he's working also for Augusta National Golf Club this week for the first time, writing copy for their Masters annual. My good friend Dave Shedlowski is with us now from Augusta. My man, it's great to have you aboard.
Thanks, Anthony. Great to be here, and great to hear that the tribe is up 4-0.
Yes, yeah, so we buried the lead there. Is that true? No one's ever won the big tournament that's won the par three, correct? Is that a streak that's still alive?
I believe that is correct. I think Sam Snead won the first par three contest and then ended up losing the Masters. So I think that streak is there. But a new tradition that's really like any other now is that you have so many more players that don't turn in a score. There's literally like half the field that has a NS next to their names. These are all players who have, including Justin Thomas and Keegan Bradley, guys with holes in one, because they don't want to win the par three contest, even though you get some pretty cool prizes for doing it.
Superstition lives, man. Don't anger the golf gods.
There you go.
Dave, what are the prizes? You mentioned some of the prizes they can win by winning the par three. What are some of those?
Well, you get a very cool thing for a hole in one, and you get a crystal bowl if you actually win the par three contest. Okay. And I'll tell you, that thing is sweet.
All right. Well, it's a small sacrifice to maybe get yourself in the mix on Sunday.
I guess.
Were you in the camp of the Tiger would have given it a shot if the accident didn't happen?
We got to drill down further. You're talking about the most recent accident.
Well, when he was sitting in, I think he was sitting in the back of the sheriff's car, and I think one of the guys asked him, "Are you going to play the Masters?" And I think he said, "Well, I hope to." Now, I don't know if that was just involved in all the emotion of it, trying to say, "Hey, I got something important coming up. Let's try to move me through the operation here." Did you have any belief that if that rollover didn't happen, that he would have tried to tee it up this week?
Yeah, I think there was a thought that he might give it a go. I don't think that it would have been wise. I don't think he was ready. He didn't look great when he played in that TGL match a few weeks ago. I mean, all he had to do was hit a few shots into a simulator, and he still looked like he was walking gingerly. And given this is the toughest walk in golf, I'm not sure he was ready. And there's a prevailing thought now among writers here and so forth that he may never play in it again. I mean, I hope that's not the case. I hope he continues to get better and whatever he's working on now to, you know, improve his mental health and whatever else, that he can play again. But I mean, he'd be a ceremonial player at best.
Yeah, no doubt. You brought up TGL, and since you're really knee deep into the golf world, I want to get your take on what you think of that and what that's done for the sport over the last couple of years.
Well, I think it's been a nice addition to the golf ecosystem, if you will. I don't pay a lot of attention to it. I hate to tell you. That's not to say I don't pay any attention to it. I just don't. I'm not a faithful watcher of every match, but I have watched several this year. I think it's pretty cool. I'm not sure about the long-term prospects of the endeavor, but it does about as well as your average college basketball game ratings-wise. So I think ESPN's fairly happy with it, and that's probably as important as anything.
Augusta National, our friend Dave Shadlowski giving us a preview. So Scottie Scheffler, he's got a couple of them already, but he's not coming in like world-class form, I wouldn't think. Hasn't played since the Players. He was not top 20 there. He wasn't top 20 at Arnie's place. So give me your thoughts on that. Is it because he did switch his driver? Is that what's giving him problems, or is it just something else?
No, he did switch his driver, but he has had trouble in first rounds, and this was a problem he had when he had not won anything, was that he was a slow starter, and he wasn't understanding how important, you know, the second shot on the second hole might be, in the first round of the tournament being as important as that in the last round. He understands that now. He just is not coming out of the gates very fast, and he's putting himself behind the eight ball. And is the driver part of that? I guess. But, I mean, the driver has been a problem since he switched it. And because you look at, like, things like his approach game, which, by the way, at Augusta National, approach play is about as important as you can get as far as a stat if you're trying to pick your lineup for fantasy golf. You know, look at guys who, you know, are leading in that statistic, and Scotty's still near the top. So you know, who would ever count him out? It's sort of like Tiger in the day. Who would ever count him out?
Absolutely. So let's talk about the guy that got it done last year and Rory McIlroy and your feel on his game at the moment coming into the Masters. And so you're feeling good about Rory's game right now or not so much?
No. No. But that's not to say he can't get it together. You know, he had a back problem that forced him to withdraw from Arnold Palmer. He didn't quite have it at the Players, both in his game and physical health. I think he's better now, but there's a kind of a scary statistic out there, and I don't know how much weight you put on it, but players who have taken some 3 weeks off between their previous start in the Masters tend not to win. And compared to players who, if they have played, you know, be it the Players or any of the other events leading into Augusta and they have a top 10, those guys tend to do pretty well. That's why you like a guy like Cameron Young, who won the Players. Who won the Players last year? Rory. Who won the Players the year before? Scotty. You know, there is a trend there.
Yeah, you'd like to come in good form. And, you know, Matt Fitzpatrick, Oberg hasn't been able to close. He's one of those guys that I expect to be there on Sunday, but man, breaking through and getting it has been tough for him.
Agree. He seems to lose something at the end of the tournaments right now, whether it's concentration or his putting stroke. God, the guy's got probably one of the top two or three best swings in the game. So, but that didn't help Tom Weisskopf either in his day. And Weisskopf was there a bunch, never won it. Not saying that Olberg is just like him. He might win this week. He's one of my favorites, but you know, you would think that he'll be there trying for many years, probably being near the top.
Over or under for you, 1.5 pimento cheese sandwiches this weekend?
Oh, under for sure. I have one, and then I call it a day.
Okay.
It's definitely under on the egg salad, which will be zero. Or as they say on Animal House, 0.0. I'm big on the chicken sandwich. Is sort of this, you know, this chicken breast sandwich, breaded chicken breast. Oh my God, that thing! You're going to go over on that.
All right. So, see, my number one is the Georgia peach ice cream sandwich. That one's pretty solid.
Undoubtedly, that's a favorite among everybody. And again, I'll be under. I'll do my one, and I'll call it a look. I've been here since last Thursday to cover the Augusta National Women's Amateur, and be, you know, on hand for drive, chip, and putt, and everything. You had to pace yourself here. I mean, this is like putting on the freshman 10 in college. Every year, you're like, you walk away, and you know, you just know that you have, you know, partaken of way too much of the hospitality here.
You got to hike that course, big guy. That's where you churn and burn.
Even with that. I mean, they really spoil you.
What about, I was going to ask you about whether the course is going to win this week. And what I mean by that is, I don't see a lot of bad weather. I think this is going to be fast. It looks firm. Those greens are the great defense because there's no real rough out there, but we know how glass they can get. Are we going to have, I feel like we're going to have a guy who wins who's going to be in the single digit under par and not get the double. Would I be wrong? It doesn't happen very often.
I think you're a well-informed analyst. it is going to be very firm and fast. There is sunshine throughout the weekend and low humidity, and that combination really spells difficulty in terms of firmness of greens. I mean, certainly could be firmness of, you know, fairways running into trouble as well if you're a little bit offline off the tee. And look, I think 9 under would be a very good score.
Were you able to secure, are you a guy that likes to secure the annual Masters gnome in the pro shop?
You know, there's a belief that they are discontinuing that after this year. And Fred Ridley, the chairman of Augusta National, was even asked about that today. He said, the guy said, hey, I hate to be asking a trivial question, but are you discontinuing this? And you know, Chairman Ridley said that's not a trivial subject. And but he even admitted, you know, I've even asked that question. I can't get an answer. So I don't know who's running this ship if the chairman doesn't know about the gnomes. But no, I did buy a mini gnome this year. It is only to go with the gnome that I bought about maybe seven years ago. I bought one gnome and gave it to my brother-in-law. And I told him, if you sell it, I'll kill you.
So, exactly. if I see this thing on eBay, you're dead.
Yeah, that's right. You know, maybe just do the thing where, you know, you slice the back of the ham here or whatever, and, you know, he has a limp, and, you know, he'll come out of every shot from here on out. But I got a mini one this year. I thought it was very cool. It can, you know, go on my fireplace mantle, and that'll be it for that. And I couldn't resist. It was kind of cool.
Good for you. You got a winner for us in 10 seconds? Who are you picking?
I've got four. Oberg. I like
volume shoot.
Like Oberg. Oh, that's right. Oberg, Young, Rahm, and Schauffele.
Okay, he's mine. The X Man is mine. Done, man. The fact that you joined us from Augusta, I can hear it in your voice, and I can kind of picture it in my mind's eye, buddy. Be well. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you soon.
Anthony, you're the best. Thanks for having me.
See
Appreciate
you. It. Dave Shedlowski. Golf World, Golf Digest, editor of the Memorial Mag, the Augusta National that he's doing this week, and then tomorrow at 7:25, Jack, Gary, Tom Watson, ceremonial tee shot.
The GOATs.
Gets me every time. We'll come back with a little bit of Coach of the Year playing defense now. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
For more than 20... Ohio.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine as we go into the day today, with highs getting in the mid to low 60s. And then for tonight, not as cold overnight, with mostly clear skies and lows in the mid to upper 40s. For Thursday, we'll see more sunshine and breezy winds, and daytime highs soar in the mid to upper 70s. So get out there and enjoy the beautiful weather. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, first of all, let's get our Masters pick cemented here.
Okay.
We just had Dave Shedlowski on. He picked the whole field, I think. So
it's like maybe you reminded some people when you were filling out all those brackets a couple years ago.
Wasn't all those brackets. Two of them weren't even supposed to be seen. So, yeah. I mean, there are certain recipes, I think, for the Masters, and a lot of people used to say, you know, go with lefties, kind of a lefty course. A lot of lefties have won. But if you go back to like the last 10 winners, they were all in the top 25 of the world golf rankings.
Okay.
Like there's not that many. We've had some dudes that have come out of nowhere. Remember, it's a smaller field. They're amateurs, they're seniors, they're, you know, so I like doing a make the cut bet. A lot of the last decade, you've had guys that haven't been older than, well, they've probably a pretty big window, 27 to 43, but you start whittling it down. And so you go back to the last 10 years, and that winner had a top 13 finish in at least one of the two previous majors played. You go back to the last 10, and the winner had a top 10 finish in the last 50 days before the tournament.
Okay.
Had a top 10, so he's playing decent coming in.
I like that.
Then you had guys that were top 34 at the Masters in the prior 2 years. So you can whittle it down pretty fast to who fits that criteria.
I think the guy I'm going to pick checks one of the boxes that you just mentioned. And this is like a heart pick for me, because I've always liked this guy. And I want him to finally get it done.
I'm going to guess this.
Okay. What do you think it is?
A heart pick. You want him to finally get it done.
Yeah.
Who would that be? I'm going to try to read your mind on this one. Look at the field here a little bit. Has he won another major?
He has not. He has not. Mm.
I'm going to guess Victor Hovland.
Close.
Oh, wait, he has.
He's won.
Yeah.
He's won a major. Yeah. This guy that I am picking, I believe AR has had recently over the last couple of years a top five finish at Augusta.
Wait, no, Hovland hasn't won a major yet, has he?
No.
He won, no, I don't think he won has.
Here. Okay.
He won here. Yeah, not a major.
That's though. Not my
yeah.
pick. You know I like Vic.
Didn't Boy, bet, I thought didn't I bet had on it. Him. Thought he nailed it.
And he called me out when you talked to
right.
him. Did your boy bet on me?
No.
What was he thinking? But it is not Victor Hovland.
All right, so let me keep guessing.
Okay.
All right, so it's not Victor. He hasn't won a major that we know of. Zeke, you going to help me out on this one?
I'm searching about, over here.
It's not Justin Thomas, because Thomas has won.
Yeah, it's not JT. Not JT.
What about Tommy Fleetwood?
There it Cameron, is.
That it is, yep.
I'm going Tommy Great Fleetwood, AR.
I mean, I love him, too. Yeah.
I saw earlier, I think he finished third, maybe, a couple years ago at Augusta. I just think he's a cool dude. I like him. He runner-up at the U.S. Open in 2018. So, yeah, I'm going Tommy Fleetwood. I've been seeing, like, 20-1 his odds. So, yeah, I'm going to rock with Tommy this weekend. Hope he gets it done, man.
He's played well there. He's made the cut, I think, every year except one.
Yeah.
He's had a top-5 finish there. He's had a top-20 finish. He's finished. He's been pretty good.
Isaiah, do me a favor real quick, because I like to play this game. For guys that haven't won majors, what are we looking at for career earnings for Tommy Fleetwood on tour?
Oh, that's way up there.
It's got to be. Man.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine
Without
how much money he's won.
Winning a major, how much coin has this guy brought home? What do you got?
Somewhere between 53 and 62 mil.
Good for you. It's the beauty of this sport.
Without a major.
Beauty of this sport. You could come close, no cigar,
man,
and still just load up with moolah. All right, so you're on the board for X-Men.
I got X-Men. You got...
I'll go Tommy
you got Fleetwood.
Isaiah?
That'd be great.
Give me a little Minwoo Lee.
Okay.
I like an underdog.
Okay.
Hey, give me some value.
AR's going to like that. He's an underdog guy.
Minwoo Lee.
Where we get him at?
He has, I was just looking at the Masters and see what he's done there.
He's
top 50 last year, tied for 22nd and 24, tied for 14th and 22. He's made some noise.
You got the odds?
Plus 3,000. He's got Minwoo Lee.
Okay. Pretty good value.
All right.
Starts tomorrow.
Fleetwood's plus 2,200. Xander plus 1,500.
Okay. Real quick, tell me about this ice cream sandwich that you were talking about with Dave.
It's like the old cookies on the side of the ice cream, the old ice cream sandwich. But, you know, like the, you ever seen the chocolate, like the Chip Witch or whatever?
Yeah.
Which is like the greatest thing in the history of.
Yeah, it's special.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Except when you're trying to eat it dry, like taking it home or something. I've done that.
You like to eat in the car.
Taking it home from the golf course.
You texted TLC and I this weekend. You had, what, some canes, I think, in the car? House in the fries?
I was starved.
And I asked you, like, are we just eating the fries dry?
No,
like,
no ketchup, no cane sauce? It was bad. I ate everything.
So how are you dipping the fries in the cane sauce on
anything.
The move? Oh, just dry fries. Salt and fries. That's all you need.
No, just whatever they were.
You were that
tasty. I was ready to go. It was awful.
Okay.
Then I was trying to eat the chicken. It was bad. I couldn't wait. I think if you're inside 8 minutes... from home,
wait it out. Okay.
Anything longer than that, it's fair game. It's not making it. All right, so this story is very odd, to say the least, that I'm assuming this was at the owners' meetings.
That's my understanding.
Out in Phoenix.
Yes, that's my understanding.
So, I don't know if this was an exclusive that somebody, whether it was paparazzi or who was taking these photos... Page6.com took pictures of Mike Vrabel and New York Times reporter Diana Russini holding hands and hugging at a luxury hotel. I mean, it's in Sedona. So that means they left Phoenix and went up to Sedona. Pretty amazing place up there. Yeah. I mean, some of the most greatest nature and sights you'd ever see.
Okay. So you're telling me those two...
Says they were spotted 2 weekends ago in Sedona at a boutique resort set against the breathtaking mountain range. And it looks casual. It doesn't look like it's a work thing. It looks... She's in a sweatshirt. He's like... It looks
they're
like...
They're kicking it in the pool together?
No, feet no. Up. I didn't see anything in a pool.
Yeah, their feet are up in the pool.
They are in the pool.
Yeah. Oh, then there's up. Other pic. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't keep scrolling.
Oh, yeah. Vrabel's no shirt, trunks in the pool. She looks like she's got her swimsuit on and some lounge chairs, and they're just kicking it.
All right, so the one thing you could say, and this would be tough, is why would they be that obvious? Right? Like, that's their best defense. Their best defense is, why would we be this obvious if we both have significant others? Like,
I'm not going to accuse either party of doing anything. I will say on the surface, it's not the best of looks.
I mean, is there a chance that they were there coincidentally? I don't think you'd go to Sedona on your own.
Especially leaving the owner's meetings.
I'm going to guess.
Going somewhere else. Maybe they thought... If this is true and what people are accusing them of, maybe they thought, hey, we're in the cut somewhere.
The adults only resort prides itself on being a romantic getaway, boasting on its website about the 158 proposals that took place and thousands of anniversaries and honeymoons that have been celebrated at the hotel.
So, there you go. And now you got quotes from her on podcast with Stu Gatz in February saying, you know who's let me know my marriage is falling apart? My mom. This is real. So now people are digging into what she said, and we'll see what comes from it. But yeah, it's a little eye-opening.
But they both denied that there's anything other than that they know each other from
a
friendship business type relationship. Okay. All right. Coming back with 2 minutes. And the season saver last night. The Jackets are alive. We talk to Dante Fabbro next for HockeyandHounds.net.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
You'd think that dog conversation wouldn't necessarily blend with hockey talk. And you'd be wrong.
You idiots!
Like a fine wine and dark chocolate. It's going down smooth. Rothman and Ice present Hockey and Hounds.
Sponsored by Telhio Credit Union. Helping hounds find a home and helping you finance yours. Get the best rate from Telhio's mortgage experts. Find out more at telhio.org.
All right, it's that time of the week. We get to tap into the CBJ coming off what is perhaps the game of the year. Maybe a season-saving win for the Jackets. And our guy on the blue line, Dante Fabbro. Fabs is with us now, courtesy of Telhio Credit Union. My man, that was something. I'm sure that room was buzzing afterward.
Obviously a little too close for comfort there, but I think, overall we stuck with it and found a way to get 2 points. It's the most important thing.
So, yes, you're right. It was a little too close, and it doesn't happen often where you empty the net and get one, but you did. You relied on your goaltender last night again. I thought Jet was fantastic, especially late, sprawling early in the period. Then he stoned Raymond on a breakaway with about 13 to go. Talk to me about what he's given you guys here lately.
I think Jet's playing outstanding. I mean, he's been making really big saves when we need him to, and giving us a chance every night to stay in the fight and continue to obviously try and win games. So, just for him and just the way his, how calm he is and, the way he plays the puck and things like that definitely gives the team a lot of confidence. And, obviously we have to, allow him to play his game and see the puck. So, obviously don't want to be giving up breakaways or anything like that. But, he made some big stops when we needed him.
Big moment. Obviously for Jet, but also some big moments for Zach and Adam Fantilli as well. Let's talk about Fantilli right now. Obviously, drafted very high a few years ago, and these are the moments I think a franchise wants, right? Where you can have this guy come into his own in critical moments, and he stepped up there, and here he is, Dante, as putting together a nice, solid season again for a young guy. But just talk about that moment last night from him and what you think that can maybe do for him now moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can just see the kind of the evolution of Fants and the way he plays the game. game. I mean, you know, he's a guy that can make plays and you know, change the outcome of a game each and every night. And so for obviously for him to get that, it, you know, wasn't definitely surprising to us, but you know, it's obviously nice for him to get that and continue to build confidence that way. And but yeah, I mean, we're obviously, you know, super happy to have him on the team and have the way he's playing and, you know, continue to kind of push the offense that way. So, you know, anything to kind of keep him going and, you know, get him on the score sheet each and every night is huge. But, you know, he's the kind of guy that works at it each and every day and continues to try and be better each and every day. So, it's obviously fun being out in the ice with him and getting to see what he gets to do.
You know, you brought up the word confidence in your response right there to that question. And that's been just a curious thing for the people outside of your locker room over the last few weeks, just about how confident you guys really are at the moment when you're going through a tough stretch like that. Just talk about the mental part of the challenge of being a team right now that just couldn't find their way to the positive results that you would want. So the confidence over the last few weeks, like exactly where was that for you guys when you guys were going through that rough stretch?
Yeah, I think as a team collectively, we knew, you know, we needed to play better and be better in front of our own net and just even with managing the puck throughout all three zones. So, yeah, I think, you know, when things aren't going your way or you're not scoring or, you know, bounces aren't going your way, I think, you know, you maybe tend to second guess yourself and get off script a little bit. But I think in those moments, it's most important to kind of lean on your teammates and coaches to kind of pull each other out of it. And, you know, I thought obviously last night was a big step in the right direction. And yeah, I thought it was just a good confidence game for the guys to obviously be able to come back, you know, that late and stay with it to win it in a shootout there. So, yeah, I thought it was a lot of good, a lot of credit to obviously our leadership and just the way the team conducted themselves throughout the game.
I know there's not a lot of time left. You're still obviously in a place where you have to win games. You go to Buffalo Thursday. That's not easy. But is there a sense that a win like this was worth more than one in your mind?
You know, when you lose a few games in a row, like I said, I think you can start second guessing yourself a little bit. But just to have a win and that stick-to-itiveness, you know, with each and every guy, I think was huge last game. So, you know, if we can continue to obviously, you know, address some things that we need to obviously improve on and allow, you know, our team to maybe generate or not give up as much. So, but yeah, there's always things you can improve on, but I felt, you know, as a team, we were, you know, we kind of stuck in there and was able to get the job done.
Dante Fabro with us, CBJ Blue Liner here, Hockey Nouns, brought to you by Telhire Credit Union. I'm glad you're talking about all the things you had to stick to last night. When you got the 4-minute power play with 10 minutes to go, and then Provy's called for interference, what I thought was a horrendous call. I thought he took a spill. I thought he sold it. Now you're back to 4-on-4, and that power play is negated, and then they take the lead. Take me at that point on that bench with about 4.5 to go, and now you're down in the game, and what guys are saying to each other.
Yeah, I think it was all positive. I think, you know, before maybe earlier in the season, we maybe would have got down on ourselves a little bit just with everything going on. And, but yeah, I thought it was, you know, guys are staying positive. I think, we know we can score goals. It's just obviously the matter of getting to those areas and shooting the puck and, you know, taking away the goalie's eyes and things like that. So, yeah, I think it was all positive all around. I think there wasn't a doubt that we could tie the game up and, you know, whether it took right to the last second, kind of like what it did, or, you know, we scored right away. So I think just sticking with it and continue to obviously, you know, trust your teammates and trust yourself to get the job done. And, you know, I thought we did a really good job of managing that.
Real quick, Dante, I wanted to ask you about this. There were reports coming out of the building that you guys may have had a players only meeting. You don't have to share what was said in the meeting, but I'll just love to know, like, who were some of the voices that stepped up and kind of the tone that was set in that meeting?
Yeah, I think it was, I mean, it's probably all the things, you know, people would, you know, think that we were talking about. And, yeah, I mean, all the guys who talked were all our, you know, leaders on the team and things like that. And, you know, so, you know, what was said was just, obviously, we got to stick together. And, the recipe for success and winning in this league was kind of what we were doing, you know, just after break there. And we wanted to get back to that. And that was kind of just the bottom line of it. And, Like I said, I felt like last game was kind of our first game and, you know, probably the first handful of games that, you know, we've kind of got back to the way we want to play and thought we were on top of teams playing on our toes and, you know, ended up in a win. So obviously that's nice to have, but again, got to have a short memory here and get prepared for the next game.
No doubt. Hard fought win, man. And if you noticed, I didn't ask you about the standings and I won't because I know that's not where your focus is right now. Did your boy Cash make an appearance in the team picture this year? A source tells me.
Yeah, he sure did. We were a little bit worried with how he was going to be just around everyone and some other dogs, but he actually did really well. And yeah, I'm proud of him. I thought he was going to be just a menace out there, but yeah, he did really well. And he had a big smile on his face.
That's awesome, man. I'm happy to hear that. Back in late February when we had you on, I had mentioned a dog named Dash, ironically, from my friends at Gigi's.org. He kind of had a blockhead. He was a mix. I absolutely loved this dog, and he did get adopted. So it's a great story. He's got that look, man. He just was kind of like a grizzled veteran, and I was so happy that Dash got a home and be able to tell you that. But my friends at the Humane Society of Madison County, which is not far west of Columbus, their website is hsmcohio.org, Humane Society of Madison County. And Kelsey and her team are absolutely wonderful. We've pitched dogs from them before, and they've got a really cool little thing going on where they did, like, good dogs, bad names. So for, like, a couple weeks, they named dogs kind of, like, really funky names, like Lampshade and Unicycle and some weird names. But the whole pitch was they're good dogs. And if you adopted a dog from there anytime in the first couple weeks of April, which we still are, to the 15th, that it was like a $5 adoption fee, which is amazing. Actually, this dog, who's currently named Unicycle, but her name is really Karma because she's had some really good karma lately because she came from kind of a tough spot. She's a beautiful brindle. We'll put her picture up. And Karma's been with them for about 8 months. And they tell me that she absolutely loves dogs her size. She's about 60 plus, so you get that. And we love her to have maybe a bigger friend if you have one, another big doggy friend, because she's a little shy upon first meeting, but you give her a treat and you watch her personality just bloom. She's gentle. She lives for belly rubs and rolling in the grass and absolutely, I said, loves her doggy friends and romping around. So I think an ideal day for Karma would start with just morning love as they all deserve and then a walk or play in the backyard, belly rubs, treats, playtime. Loves the couch and cuddling with her favorite people. She's easygoing, walks really nicely on the leash. She'll alert you when a package comes to the house, as they all do, but she is the sweetest girl, and I think can't wait to meet someone that would make a forever home for her. So Karma is our girl, the beautiful brindle, and if you're interested in Karma, go to the website, hsmcohio.org. That's hsmcohio.org, or just search Humane Society of Madison County. And Kelsey and her team will help you meet and greet Karma. And hey, name her whatever you want. If you adopt her, you have that freedom. But she's going from Unicycle for the next about 8 days, and then she'll be back to Karma. And I hope somebody realizes and hears this, that maybe it was meant to be that you heard about her today on Hockey and Hounds. So hope to have some good news for you down the road, my man.
Yeah, that sounds great. Obviously, if she ever needs a friend, I got my big boy here too. So, Maybe down the road they'll meet.
Meant to be. All right, good luck Thursday. This was really nice of you to do on the day off. And as we've said all day, you're staying alive, and that's the cool part. So enjoy and embrace it, and we'll wish you good luck on Thursday.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Dante Fabbro, CBJ Blue Liner here on Hockey and Hounds, brought to you by our friends at Telhio Credit Union. Experience member-driven banking at Telhio, proudly serving Ohio for more than 90 years. So at Humane Society of Madison County, the good dogs, bad names promo, which I love, through the 15th. And it really applies to any dog 7 months or older. So, yes, believe me when I tell you, $5 plus the dog licensing fee of $21. And you get a forever friend to take home with you with our friends at Humane Society of Madison County. Been doing it since the late 80s. That was founded. And maybe you'll see a dog on there or a cat, some animal that moves you to say, you know what? That animal belongs in my home. for the rest of time. We'll come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Whatever you're doing right now, just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon. Even if this promo is playing in the morning, no judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan.
When you saw your...
Come. The Jackets are making a push to the playoffs.
Islanders and Adam Fantilli, one more time, puts it in the net.
Listen to every exciting moment, including an extended pregame show for weekend games. Proud to be your home of the Jackets. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
You know, we probably should have included this in Tell the Truth, so I'll do it again. Tell the Truth. The Vrabel Russini Sedona meetup, we're erring on the side that this is more personal. Like, it has to be.
My
right?
Spidey senses are saying yes. That this isn't, hey, like, let's talk about AJ Brown. Are you guys really in on AJ Brown getting him out of Philly? It just doesn't look that way. Like, because when you're kicking it in the pool and, you know, like the hugging pictures and all that, I don't know. I don't want to read too much into that, but it looks very casual. It looks very much so like a personal experience.
All right, so is this plausible? Okay, there are two things. There are a couple things that say to me there's something off, that it could be personal.
Yeah.
And one of them is it's dead there. There's nobody there. This isn't I ran into somebody at the pool. Like, this is, like, there's nobody else there.
Because they could have easily just stayed where the owners' meetings were, had a conversation in front of anybody and everybody, and it wouldn't have looked suspicious. This now looks suspicious because, like you mentioned, you're going, like, out of your way, away from where everything was, just the two of you?
All right. Well, that's not what they claim.
Oh.
They claim that they were there with friends, and they simply say the friends weren't visible in the pictures.
Okay.
That they were at, and by the way, that's plausible that if you and I, if you were on a trip with friends,
uh-huh,
and you saw somebody you knew across the way, or they were there, and you went over to talk to them, and we snapped some pictures of you two talking, we wouldn't see the people you were there with. A source close to Russini says she was staying at the hotel during a hiking trip with two female friends. One of Rabel's friends told Page Six that they and the coach drove up to Sedona for the day with another friend, and they all drove back to their own hotel, so 2 hours away, after hanging out with her and her gang at the pool. Now, three other eyewitnesses told them that they did not see anyone else, that this is just their story. Asked if the Pats coach visited the hotel with a group of friends, one eyewitness said, no, he was with a girl. The photograph evidence kind of proves that point. But, I mean, Vrabel was at a scouting event at ASU in Tempe. Then he took the 125-mile trek to Sedona, which, by the way, is been there once. It's ridiculous. It's so cool. I mean, you're just Red Rock Country, pink yeah. Jeep tours up the... I mean, it's... but... So, their story is out there.
They just better be telling the truth, because with the world that we live in, with the digging into old stuff on social media and interviews, and you know TMZ is calling anybody and everybody right now to figure out what's going on and offering up some pretty good money to people that may have been around the scene.
I mean, I don't think there's any documented evidence that they're both, plus it would be very personal to both of them, if they're both either separated from their spouses or moving on, then they have every right as consenting adults to be there. The question is together. The question is, they're denying it. So what you're saying is, if you're denying it, it better not be anything, I guess.
Because nothing really is hidden anymore in this world that we're in. There's receipts everywhere that are going to come out in time.
He wasn't trying to hide his identity. He wasn't like, didn't have sunglasses on and like in it, like, but maybe he thought it's in Sedona, but he's pretty recognizable.
100%.
Obviously a lot more than she is,
yeah.
even.
Yeah.
So All right.
There's all the right.
Take us home, big man.
All right, first one for me here. I'm looking at the price of beer at every MLB ballpark. FanDuel just came out with this. We've got as low as $3, and this is the cheapest you could get the beer at the ballpark. So this isn't like the average cost. This is the cheapest on maybe one day that you get the beer. So $3 is the lowest cost. $15.40 is your highest cost. At the very bottom, we got the Rockies at the $3. The very top, we're looking at the Nationals with $15. Wait a minute.
You're telling me that Coors Field is the lowest?
Sure is.
That would make sense.
Because their team sucks. They're trying to get people in the stadium.
I was saying
that's
that
why.
This is what we do. Our
beer out here. Could be that too, for sure. There's no doubt. No doubt.
All right, continue.
So my question for you guys, if you're at a sporting event, would there ever be a time where you walked up to the concession stand, looked at the price of the beer after you've already decided that you want a beer, and the price could deter you and say, you know what, $15, a little steep for me. I don't care what experience I'm at. I'm going to walk away. I don't need the beer. Yeah. Or are you just pulling the trigger? I'm at the game. Whatever the price of beer is, that's what it is.
I'm just taking the L.
Really?
Yeah. I'm there at a game. It's kind of a vibes thing. You know, you want a cold one watching the game. Maybe not two or three. But yeah, you got to have that with a dog. You know what I mean?
You're not doing the nine-inning challenge?
I'm not built for that. I am not built for
Nobody really should be built for that when it really comes down to it.
You shouldn't be scared of the people that are.
Yeah, a little bit.
There you go. Hey, there's Tell the Truth for today. You miss anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do will be waiting there for you. Coming up on Common Man and Timmy, both guys in the house. Nicole Sheeran joins at 3:30. Jeff Rimmer joins at 5:30 to talk about the Jackets.
All right, we appreciate you listening. We'll have a fun show for you tomorrow. We'll do a little Gold Jacket Thursday is back. We'll make that the tease. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on the Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray.